Alex Jones Network. Tomorrow's news today.
It is Wednesday, May 20th, 2026. I am your host, Alex Jones, coming to you from the Alex Jones Network studios here in Austin, Texas, transmitting worldwide defiance of tyranny. The news site is alexjoneslive.com. I went to a local bank this morning to take care of some business and went in there, and both the managers were listeners. I didn't know that. We start talking, and they both start telling me, "Wow, it's a real bummer you're off the air." And I said, "Oh, when's the last time you listened?" "Well, a few weeks ago." They talked about the shows, and I'm like, "No, I'm still on the air, alexjoneslive.com, and on the satellites and same radio stations and all of it." But a lot of people, you know, tune in here, tune in there, and didn't get the memo. So that's why I'm asking listeners on your email list, your text message list. That's really the key thing to hit, word of mouth. Hey, Alex Jones is still on the air. We have a big audience, and most of it was, you know, knew where to find us, but still, I'm getting asked on the street every day about when am I going to get back on the air. It happened last night at the grocery store. So it's happening, and it's very frustrating, but that's just the way it is because we're in an information war. And we know what we're talking about, and our guests know what they're talking about. We have incredible callers and journalists and reporters. And this is just really important work we're doing here. So thank you so much for keeping us on the air and going through all these wars with us. You are the InfoWar, and I salute you. Okay, I'm going to try to be very calm today. I have a lot to cover. You saw what happened in Kentucky. I said last week when he was 20 points ahead, Massey in Polymarket, and a lot of the polls 10 points ahead. I said he needs about 10 points to override baked-in fraud. And then yesterday when Fuentes was on in the first hour, and we'll find the clip, I said, I got a bad feeling. My feelings are pretty much never wrong. When I saw Hegseth the night before, so confident, and just the body language and all of it, I knew that when you got the Pentagon campaigning against you, for the first time ever in U.S. history, they're not going to be embarrassed. They're not going to, on something like that, have a defeat. I knew right then the fix was in. And I said that yesterday. Now, I'm going to get into some of this today, but I want to do more deep research. I went to bed about midnight last night, and I woke up at 3:30 because I was just so upset about everything. And I spent a good 2 hours on this morning, and I've got tons of info and research here, and I've been checking it, making sure it's accurate, and it is. There are major anomalies that are just astronomical for this to be organic. And then one of the articles that gets into some of this is up on alexjoneslive.com. Nobody's buying Massey's election loss. AIPAC-funded opponent increased voter turnout by 357% compared to any other Kentucky Republican primary ever. That's right. Now, you think about that. And then all this other stuff and mail-in ballots that came in last minute and the rest of it. We'll break it all down and so much more straight ahead. Stay with us. Well, on the 484th day of the Trump administration, President Trump just made a stunning statement just an hour ago that we're about to play for you. He says that when he's done with the presidency in 2.5 years, he is going to run for the Israeli prime ministership in Israel. I'm right now at 99% in Israel. I could run for prime minister, so maybe after I do this, I'll go to Israel and run for prime minister. Oh, are you Jewish? Or dual citizen? Now, obviously, that's Trump just making a joke, but it's not funny when you see that the Israel lobby is 100% trying to take over our foreign and domestic policy. And everybody knows that's been a long-time listener or even been around 30-something years, people have known that I've gotten big criticism from people that only care about Israel and obsess on Israel and hate Israel for not making Israel my focal point and saying, yeah, Israel does a lot of corrupt, bad stuff, and that's what all these big, powerful, sophisticated governments do, and it's systemic throughout governments worldwide, and it's a bad thing. And I just call balls and strikes. And I've seen China and the internal left and then the globalists and the big central banks as the main enemy because they put the communist Chinese in power. That's been the main globalist system. And Trump was opposing that at many levels in his first administration and then when he was out of office with real actions. But this is a new Trump. And since he's been in the last year and a half, by increment, he has become a thoroughbred war hawk, Greater Israel, super Zionist, and has kicked all or almost all of his old real MAGA people out and brought in the most hardcore Likudnik Mossad operatives. And I mean, that's just a fact. So I'm going to report that. Now, why do you think I've had the ADL and the big law firms that are allied with all of that? Why do you think they've been after me so hard? Because I call balls and strikes and I legitimately would criticize Israel and also other globalist systems, other legs of the stool, from a point of facts and a point of reality for everyone, for a big tent, so people could decide to have policies that are pro-human and pro-national and capitalist and transparent and free. I don't like tribalism. I don't like where we've gone. But you have to understand that Israel and the people running it want a clash of civilizations, and they want to make the New World Order Jewish, and they want to make statements about Greater Israel and how we're all goyim and how we only exist to serve them, to create mass anti-Semitism and a clash of civilizations that out of the crises that comes out of that, they believe they will rally all the Jews and their supporters and all that wealth under one banner of survival, and really that banner of survival is the flag of conquest and taking over. And Netanyahu said it last week. It's all over the Israeli papers the last year. We're the superpower. We run America. Just insanely arrogant statements on TV about we'll kill all the Palestinians. They're not humans. You have the World Jewish Congress with all these billionaires getting up saying, I'm not Jewish. I wish I was. I'm just a goy. I'm here to serve you. And all these statements that I see all over X of prominent influencers saying things like, Tom Massey was a bad goy, so he had to be removed. And these are Jews saying this and Gentiles. And it's all incendiary. It's all extremely racist. And it is meant to make the world a multipolar world, not in you have China and the U.S., politically, economically, militarily. No, it's all, are you with the Jews or are you with everybody else? And I don't want to be with the Muslims, allied with the left, which the top hooked into the Rothschilds, the same system, part of the same dialectic clash they're creating. And I don't want to be with the Jew haters who in my experience, only care about that. In the past exaggerated a bunch of things and went around bullying everybody that they were secretly Jewish operatives if they didn't commit 100% of their time to attacking Jews all day. And I've always explained that's part of a dialectic, and I'm not going to play your game. And now you see the Southern Poverty Law Center, and it's the ADL, too, and it's the same thing with their chapters in Europe, B'nai B'rith, and Australia and everywhere, that they run the white supremacist groups, all the major ones, and they run the leftist groups, the big think tanks, the big NGOs. I mean, this is all a plan. And so I want people to get the big plan so that we're not all puppets on strings here being played into this clash of civilizations, this culture war that they've prepared for us. So they've already done the feminism thing, everybody divided, and then they did the black against white thing, everybody divided, and now it's purely moving on into Jews and their allies and everybody else. And then monolithically saying all Jews must agree to a greater Israel, and Israel's a superpower, and Israel is going to take control of big tech and all the media. They openly say this, and they already did to a great extent, in an eight-front war and shut down anybody that doesn't agree with anything that Israel's leadership says, including criticizing mass death and ethnic cleansing in and around Israel and endless wars. So this is what's been set up for everybody. Meanwhile, you have a scientific, technological elite that Eisenhower warned of that controls the military-industrial complex, that are eugenicists that think we're all unwashed animals, and across the board wants to dumb us down, poison us, and then euthanize us. And that's the official policy going out of beta in the year 2020 with Agenda 21 into Agenda 2030, and is a stated planetary depopulation operation where they say there will be no Homo sapiens in the year 2047 that aren't cyborg. These are official plans. Go read it. And you go, that sounds crazy. Well, they mean it, and they're doing it. Look at this headline, Politico. Silicon Valley wants to put a chip in your brain. Why the future doesn't need us? And so when I tell you this stuff, and I always show you the documents, the proof, and you see it all in the news now. So in the old days, it was hard to get the information out. You had to have like Club of Rome documents and leak things and stuff. But now it's just out in the open. At the end of the day, the globalists don't care if you're Asian or if you're Anglo or if you're Jewish or if you're a Muslim. They're spraying chemtrails in the sky with aluminum dioxide, barium salts on the killing the plants, the animals, brain damaging the humans. They're releasing ticks loaded up with alpha gal. They're releasing mosquitoes loaded up with all sorts of Trojan horse weapons as flying syringes. They're pushing poison food on all of us. They're pushing poison shots on everybody. This is a universal attack on humanity. And I've told the story probably 150 times. And I'll tell it again right now, and I'll get into all the news. It's huge. Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement, my most important film. Took me 2 years to make it. Before they took it off Google Video, it had upwards of 100 million views. I mean, they just killed Google Video at one point. Had 100 million on there, over 50 million on YouTube when they took it down there. You can still find it. Copies, millions here, millions there. It's free all over the place. You got to dig around, though. They try to bury it in the algorithm. But Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement. And the film, in 2.5 hours, details it all. And a nice, clean snapshot with all their quotes, all their documents, there for you. And so my oldest daughter, Charlotte, was going to a ballet recital one Saturday afternoon or whatever it was. And my parents and my ex-wife come to pick me up at the office about an hour early to go to this ballet recital. And the kids are running around. And I've got on a big screen editing TV, Endgame, and the last third of the film. And so my parents said, well, we got some time. Let's watch this. And I play it for my dad and my mom, and we get in the car, and my mom goes, David, that's not true, is it? That's not all real. And he never told us about this. I mean, my mom knew it. She was there, but didn't, she's a young woman at the University of Texas, didn't really exactly click to it. And as we're driving to the ballet recital for the next 20 minutes, my dad just spills his guts and says, well, I was in Plan 2, University of Texas. So he had like the highest test scores, some of the highest test scores in the state. So he's 14 and gets sent to the University of Texas. And then they were told it was a NASA feeder program. But then he would get sent to back be an assistant at MD Anderson Cancer Research. He'd be sent to other, he figured out later it was all to just test him and see what he would do. And it was just horrible stuff. And I've told that story before. I'm not going to get into it again. That he witnessed, but people with terminal cancer that had signed away forms to be tested on for the betterment of humanity that were killing people. And he said he saw the top scientists and doctors getting off on it. So he asked to be reassigned, about a year into that and did other stuff. But he goes, the head of the Plan 2 program was the botany department head, Professor Speer, who's Jewish. And he'd been there a couple of years, and he called in like six of the best in Plan 2. Now they're like 16, 17. And says, but one-on-one tells him, out of hundreds of people in it, well, you've made the cut. And so we're going to go ahead and let you know what this is. And he said, you know, I'm Jewish. I don't like Hitler. But eugenics is real. Look at the plants. Look at, you know, engineering. We're not going to target just one group. We're not going to target just one race. We're going to bring in eugenics and a world government and implement it and basically depopulate most of the planet. And my dad was still friends with him, but he said, I'm going to pull out of the program and just, you know, get my basic degree and go be a physician. But he was still friends with him. And then my mom comes along when she's 18. My dad's already at UT. She comes along and meets him and went to dinner with the Spears and went to their house. And my dad was friends with him still, you know, played chess with him. And she said, oh, I remember Spear, yeah. But my point is, that's what this is, okay? And so you got Chinese, you got Jews, you got Germans, you got Russians, you got people from all backgrounds and nationalities that are in the elite. But with them, it's about your family background, your test scores, and are you in the cult? So that is firsthand from my dad. All right? And it's not just him. It's everybody that has the top test scores. They come. Dr. Francis Boyle talked about how he had all the top test scores, graduating multiple colleges, number one. And so they come and they say, we've got one PhD a year. You will train under Henry Kissinger. One person gets the PhD every year. And then he went, and then they even gave him the Henry Kissinger PhD when Kissinger stopped teaching at Harvard, and he taught it for many years. But he never worked for him. That was the weird thing. They thought, and then he turned against him and exposed him. And I told him the story on air, and he goes, yes, that's exactly how it works. So that's what this is. Okay, you want to know the bottom of the rat hole? It's mad scientists playing God, poisoning you through the food, the water, the air, and the culture, and they're making their move, and they got a breakaway civilization, and they think they're gods, and we're all a bunch of dumb animals. So instead, the new global clash is going to be Jews and their collaborators with all the anti-Jews and their collaborators, and they've war-gamed it all out where that version of the New World Order, backed by the Jews, comes out on top. Now, do you want to go through a pre-planned setup like this? You have to expose the whole thing, and you're not giving Jews a pass when you do that. You're doing the opposite. You're decompartmentalizing it so all the other Jews that slavishly give all their money and time and energy and believe the narrative they're being targeted, and why is it happening again, and, oh, this is so terrible. You neutralize that and get them to wake up, and you get everybody else on the other side attacking them to get it, and then we just come together and are against globalist policies. Like, let's not release mosquitoes and ticks with bioweapons in them. Let's not give the public poison shots. Let's put Fauci in prison. Let's go through the policies of what the globalists want and demystify it and explain it's a mad scientist, world government death cult, show all the proof, and then no matter who's running it or who's doing it, you just oppose them, not because they're Italian like Fauci, or not because they're Jewish like Tedros, or Borla, excuse me. Tedros is Ethiopian. You just oppose them because they're evil demons. And that's how you win. Yeah, the super rich preppers planning to save themselves from the apocalypse. So I'm done with the 100,000-foot view. I'm going to stop now, and I'm going to tell you what's coming up. And then we're going to race through all of it here today. But that's what it is. And the establishment's decided you're just like a bunch of weevils that got into the pantry and are eating the flour. You don't deserve to go into the future. You're dumb. They're self-appointed gods. Demigods, they're just going to get rid of you. And if you study all the ancient empires and cultures, they did that routinely. So this is going back to feudalism, okay? But with a high-tech overlay. And you see Elon Musk, in his rhetoric and in most of his actions, is the only major billionaire that is opposing it. Now, you can say he's trying to keep his, you know, enemies closer by acting like he's with us, but I've seen real action out of him that, at least in the short term, has had a big effect moving the needle against this. But Trump, with his statements about, oh, I'm 99% popular in Israel, I think I'll probably, when I'm out of office, they'll run for prime minister. That's probably a joke, but the point is jokes are always based on something true, that he sees himself basically as the prime minister of Israel, or the president of the world, really. And it's Israel and the Israel lobby that didn't really support him that much in his first administration that has flipped over to him, because the Democrats have gone full pro-Islam, pure, at least on the surface, anti-Jew. And the Rothschilds are funding that, and Soros and a bunch of other Jews, just like Israel founded Hamas and stood down on October 7th and gave double the money in the year before. Not that they controlled Hamas, but that they were funding it and creating it so it could create the crisis. Just like the Rothschilds funded and created modern Israel, and then they are on record the main funders of the Islamic invasion of Europe and the United States, and through their NGOs, through the colleges, whether you're in Germany, whether you're in Spain, whether you're in Canada, the U.S., it's all, you go in for basically any type of political science or any type of history class, it's all just bashing Jews. Constant Jews run everything. Jews are the devil. Jews are genocidal psychotics. Blah, 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 blah. And then you're like, Rothschilds are funding it. Well, they're creating the dialectic. Just like the Southern Poverty Law Center runs all the major white supremacist groups. I mean, this is a fact. Al-Qaeda, ISIS, Hamas, all funded, controlled, many of them founded by MI6, U.S., and Israel. Before Israel existed, the Brits were the masters of it, and so were we. This is the reality. So when I go after Israel for that, I go, but also our government doesn't, and so does the U.K., because you need to know it's wrong and be adults about this. But now this is the big mass clash that's being created. And contrary to giving the elite Jews a pass by laying out how this works, it's even worse. Okay? And I come at this as a position of being able to look out 10 steps ahead, 20 steps ahead. This is going to get everybody killed. And this propensity for Jewish elites to get in super high positions of power, work their asses off, network all of it, and then people start, you know, getting pushy, they push back, and then it creates this conflict that we see that's happened over and over again. Well, now we're going to have that conflict with a bunch of nuclear weapons and all the rest of it, and 10 billion people. It is not going to end well for Israel. People go, good, blow them off the map. Have you thought about the process of that? That will blow everybody else off the map. This is a Mexican standoff, folks. This is insane. It's of the devil. It's all out of control, and it's got to stop. So when we come back, I've got all these insane clips of Trump, like he's baiting us. You've seen the clips recently where he's like, ah, I'm not worried about the average American's economic plight. I don't even think about that. I'm worried about Medicare and Medicaid. We're a war economy now. Now he said, oh, your gas problems, inflation's peanuts. It's a quote. Don't even worry about it. Yeah, I'm doing great. Yeah, the quote was, I don't think about Americans' financial problems. Trump says gas prices are peanuts compared to Iran getting nukes. You want to see the world explode? Let me do this. Let me go trigger the world exploding. Get the Strait of Hormuz closed. We got to attack Iran so they open the strait. Well, it was open before. And he knew they were going to close it. Trump says it's not possible for the U.S. to pay for Medicaid, Medicare, and daycare. We're fighting wars. And even if you're going to do that, why are you saying it? It's already being used in campaign ads for the midterm 6 months from now. And you got all these people that are just, oh, Trump's invincible, just get behind him. Oh, you saw in Kentucky and in other states, Georgia, you saw how Trump's enemies, most of them rhinos, they're unpopular with the base, are getting defeated. See, it's going to happen in the midterms. Trump being able to flood masses of money in to get rid of who he wants, in many cases it was bad guys that needed to go, Indiana, Georgia, you name it. The power to do that is nothing compared to the power it'll take to beat the Democrats with all their cheating and all the rest of it with the poll numbers down and with the economy like this in November. And just watch. Just like I told you the Beatles wouldn't fall in 4 days, and we'd be here in months and months and months, and there'd be a global food crisis and an energy crisis and we'd kill Trump's recovery. It's all here. It was 99% chance in my view. Pentagon said 92% chance. Well, right now, unless there's major course corrections, we lose the House and the Senate. Yeah, I mean, look at the U.S. Department of Labor now posting Q stuff to manipulate people. Trust the plan. Trust Trump. Trust. Trust. Woo! Very, very scary. And very, very sad. I mean, trust what plan? The Rothschild New World Order plan? I mean, is Trump the president of the United States, the prime minister of Israel? Is Mike Huckabee the ambassador from the United States to Israel or the Israeli ambassador to the U.S.? I mean, Israel's now flaunting that they basically run the United States and bragging about it. We'll be right back. All right, I didn't really do a good job in the first 30 minutes. That covered some important information, obviously. The most central, top of the pyramid, bottom of the rat hole, rabbit hole, however you see it. So we can hopefully get calibrated in on that because that's how this works and that's the goal is to kill almost everybody. And do it very slowly in the soft kill operation so you don't know what hit you. Kind of a big deal. You see it getting more and more blatant around you, don't you? But all the big moving parts here, we have these races that Trump went in with huge amounts of Israeli money, RNC money, you name it. And most of the people he got rid of were horrible rhinos and people that helped steal the 2020 election. I've got a list of them. So, as usual with Trump, it's a mixed bag. With Thomas Massey, you can't have the foreign government of Israel openly saying it's an eight-front war and it's going to target congressional seats that don't want to keep the Iran war going. You can't have the executive branch through the Pentagon campaigning against a congressman who's voted against war spending. We're going to have the military now with its incredible propaganda systems manipulating Congress. It's like having the CIA spy on the House and Senate. It's totally illegal. They've been caught doing it over and over again. This is out of control. So take out of the equation what you think about Massey. Some of the stuff he's done, I don't agree with. Yeah, he did it from principle stances. A lot of the stuff they said he did that was bad, he didn't do. But just having the Israel lobby pump in over $20 million and engage in a lot of dirty tricks, AI videos that they tried to put off as real, showing Massey, you know, going into a hotel room with AOC and Ilhan Omar. All the stops being pulled out, having the Israel lobby brag, and AIPAC today put a statement out saying, we took him out, I've got that here in the stack, and then to have Ben Shapiro and all of them out saying it's anti-Semitic to say Israel's involved in our elections. This has nothing to do with Israel. We have a Ben Shapiro clip coming up that he said even before the election was out yesterday. And he just says, it's you're dumb if you think anybody involved with Israel is involved in this. What the hell are you talking about? That's like saying, you know, pointing at a green golf course and saying, that's not a golf course. Grass isn't green. And so it's just very, very insulting. And Ben Shapiro and all these neocons, Israel firsters, are extremely unpopular. They admit they are. They've lost over 90% of their audience. And this is what Trump wants to make his platform about. And then he comes out and says, I'm so popular in Israel, I could be the next prime minister. Maybe I'll go be the prime minister of Israel. And so it's rubbing our noses in it. I wouldn't want any foreign power doing this. This is outrageous. We heard all about Russian collusion, all made up. I'm a Russian agent. Trump's a Russian agent. Now I notice the neocons and the kind of Q-tard 2.0 people go, oh, yeah, you're an Iranian agent, a Qatar agent, you're a Russian agent, you know, and all this ridiculous crap. And all I am is a loyal American trying to follow tried and true systems of a free and open country. So it's a big deal. So we have the Massey stack of news and developments and clips I'm going to get to right now. And then we've got the situation, what is it, day 85, 86, Strait of Hormuz closed, World food crisis already beginning. It'll be insanely bad by all the estimates by the fall. We're talking mass starvation, tens of millions dying. Gas prices are up 56%. And Trump for the, I quit counting like 31 or 32 a few weeks ago. And that was just what I caught of Trump saying, we've won the war. We've had regime change. It's over. It's about to be over. The strait will be open. I don't care if the strait's open. Open the GD strait, the effing strait. Never really saying what the main goal is when it really is regime change. And Trump comes out again and says that the war will be over very, very soon, and gas prices will plunge back down, and that what you're paying is peanuts. And so we're going to get to all of that. And then you've got all these elites openly building bunkers and stuff and prepping like it's the end of the world. What do they know is coming? Well, they're artificially collapsing things. And if Trump's plan for a recovery didn't work, we're in a global bankruptcy situation. All the major nations are lined up for it. The globalists had positioned us for that. Trump was making real efforts to derail that. And now he's in line with it. And he's not stupid. Just like COVID was used to kill the world economy and consolidate power and wealth in the elite's hands, this is the same thing here. So I am mourning that the old Trump is fading away. I am mourning that the great agenda he had overall that I was cheerleading so vitriolically, and people thought, oh, you must be getting money from Trump, or you must be getting access. I don't even want access. I have access. I'm on the air. I'm not sycophantically trying to go wear tuxedos at Mar-a-Lago. I was invited many times. White House, you name it. I didn't snub it. It's just not my cup of tea. I'd rather get strategy done. I'd rather talk about issues. I'd rather move the ball forward, not sit around like a peacock. And people like that debutante crap, and that's what they're into. Great. That ain't me. I put a sports jacket on for this show out of respect for everybody. It's a serious program. But that's not my bailiwick. It's not my bag, as they would say. So the bottom line is this. The globalists were setting up a dystopic planetary crash to end their old Ponzi scheme and bring in a new one with diabolical AI, social credit score, universal basic income, vaccine passport, total control, Internet of Things, smart dust, 6G, robotic takeover, medical tyranny, all of it. And Trump was clearly 10 times better than any leftist group and the whole globalist leftist coalition. So that's why I backed him so much. And I'm still trying to support good people in his administration with good policies and trying to push initiatives that are good, trying to fight initiatives that are bad. When Trump keeps trying to get total AI immunity and AI dictatorship and legislation, executive orders, I've been opposing it, shooting down the legislation, warning the public, getting pressure on it, supporting people pushing back against data centers being given dictatorial power. And even when the Democrats get in, we're going to have to spotlight them and try to, you know, stop what they're doing. There won't be anything good they're going to do, so I won't have to have the issue of, oh, let's support this good initiative they've got but fight this bad one. Like with Trump, we've got that mixed bag there. And the mindless tribalism of all of this, with people saying you've either got to be 100% whatever Trump administration say, you got to say it's perfect and it's beautiful, you got to get behind it, or you've got to just say, I hate Trump, and I'm done, and I'm not even politically engaged, and what are you doing promoting something good Trump did? Well, I thought you're off the Trump train. Trump is off course from where he was going. When we get pieces of things he's doing that are good, we want to salvage that. It's very, very simple. And I know most of you know that, but they've dumbed it down so much in politics now that it's totally tribal. So let's start going to these clips, because I like to actually show you what I talk about. Contrary to the corporate media, they like to say something and show no proof. Yeah, look at that. Print me that article. Iran chief negotiator claims U.S. seeking to start a new war as Trump curiously teases final stages of talks. every time he does that, he ends up hitting him again. All very disingenuous. So let's start going to these clips. Here's Trump talking about being so popular in Israel. Israel first. Yeah, worry about Israel. Israel, Israel. He said over and over again the last month, I had to hit Iran for Israel. I did it for Israel. And you can handle the pain at the pump. You can handle the farmers not getting fertilizer. You can handle all of that because, you know, we can't have Iran get a nuclear weapon. They already got them. That's why they want regime change. That's why they want to get in and get the dust, the fuel. The Iranians aren't going to fall anytime soon, probably never. But you dropped 22,000 bombs. We dropped 7.6 million on the Vietnamese. How'd that work out? They're not going anywhere. And they're going to keep the strait closed. And the Russians are giving them more high-tech weapons than the Chinese are. And the Air Force told Trump last week, don't hit them again. They can shoot down our planes now. They've got more advanced stuff, and they're able to find our stealth fighters now and bombers. And now it's reported 42 U.S. aircraft alone have been shot down and blown up. That's in a congressional report. It's probably more than that. So people go, why are you for the Iranians? I'm not for the Iranian mullahs. I am telling you what was going to happen, and it did. And I am against going into a trap that's designed to destroy the world economy and our good name. I'm against the Iran regime change because it wasn't going to work. I'm not a gambler. I don't like gambling. I'm poker with guys, it's fun, you know, college and stuff, you know, some small bets just for fun, make it more interesting. And I bet on football games with buddies and stuff. I'm not judging if I like to gamble, but I don't get that thrill out of gambling. I make decisions to fight tyranny because it's dangerous, even though it's dangerous because it's the right thing to do as a man with God watching. And it's up to good men to stand up to evil in history and be the leaders that take the hardest blows up front to spotlight the enemy and be an example to others. And it's such an adventure to fight tyranny. I wish I could get all these men out there that are smart and competent, but all they care about is looking cool to their buddies and having their fast car and playing golf and going and gambling and going on another trip and having more fun. You can't do that at the end of an era. You can't do that at the end of a cycle and a new cycle beginning. And it's not even fulfilling. But if you look at all the trends and where we are, when I really analyze where we're going with AI and where we're going with population and what the globalists are doing, rolling out all these systems to poison us and kill us, from weaponized insects to geoengineering, we are already in a dystopia. And for working class people, it's really bad. And it's getting worse. And we're the best house in a bad neighborhood, so I'm simply telling folks that the honeymoon's over and you better get ready for hard times because Trump's plan was excellent. He's going to stabilize the U.S. and the world, create a new international system based on countries working together and all the rest of it, unilateral deals, and he's thrown that over the side of the boat. He's been betrayed by his own operatives at every level, Lutnick and the rest of them. And they're all up there insider trading at levels never before seen, Democrats and Republicans. And the publications that track this, all the big think tanks have come up with the numbers. You also get it anecdotally from people on the ground doing construction and delivery, that from millionaires up to billionaires, they're building redoubts. They're building places with runways in the middle of nowhere. They're building bunkers. They're getting years and years of food and generators and weapons because they know that this whole thing's falling apart and they know the world's going to become increasingly out of control and they're all hightailing it to the hills. So what does that tell you? And then you've got this 30-40% of MAGA that is totally delusional and thinks Trump is Jesus Christ 2.0 and think that everything's wonderful and trust the plan and everything's going to be so great. And they can't look at the actual financial numbers themselves, and they don't know what's about to hit them. And it's mainly happy boomers who, you know, got the good end of the stick with inflation, with the value of their homes and, you know, all the rest of it. And they just want to watch football and, you know, drink martinis and play golf and say everything's great. And they're not really worried about what happens to future generations, extremely selfish on average. And just immature and entertained to death. You know, it's just 60s hippies. And I'm overgeneralizing, a lot of great boomers. But they're going to end up losing what they got. They think, oh, they'll live another 10 years, and then, you know, they're going to be able to escape what we're all facing. No, you're not, Jack. No, you're not. You're going to get euthanized by the system, by Bill Gates' system. They're going to kill your ass. So sit there and Trump's a genius, everything's fine, we're invincible, Israel, I love you. The Lord says worship Israel. Just buy your cult crap and just sit there and believe whatever you want, okay? But the reality is humanity's in a grave crisis right now. All right, enough of me babbling. Let's start getting to the clips. Here's Trump on being the Prime Minister of Israel. And then here's Trump on gas prices, you know, being peanuts. And then Trump also on gas prices will come down. The war will be over soon. And I thought we'd dovetail that. This is an example with a delivery driver says the ultra wealthy are stocking up on water generators and non-perishable foods. And another clip. Today, a car just blew up, looked like a car bomb, right in front of the bull on Wall Street. That's an interesting omen. Here's a clip.
What have you said to Prime Minister Netanyahu about Iran and how long to hold off on strikes?
He's fine. He'll do whatever I want him to do. He's a very, very good man. He'll do whatever I want him to do, and he's a great guy. To me, he's a great guy. Don't forget, he was a wartime prime minister. And he's not treated right in Israel, in my opinion. I'm right now at 99% in Israel. I could run for prime minister. So maybe after I do this, I'll go to Israel, run for prime minister. I had a poll this morning. I'm 99%. So that's good. But no, he's a wartime prime minister. And I just don't think they treat him well. I think they have a president over there that treats him very poorly.
You're on the same page with him on Iran?
Yeah. And this is peanuts, and I appreciate everybody putting up with it for a little while. It won't be much longer, but you're going to have, and frankly, there is so much oil out there. One of the things that is happening is these big ships are coming up to Texas, Louisiana, and Alaska, and they're loading up. But I don't even think about that. What I think about is you can't let Iran have a nuclear weapon, and they won't have a nuclear weapon, and they fully understand it.
Term, we finished the term out despite COVID and all the other things. We had really an amazing period of time, and we finished at the highest point in the history of the stock market, and now we're blowing it away. We're blowing everything away, and we're going to end that war very quickly. They want to make a deal so badly they're tired of this. Should have happened for 47 years. Somebody should have done something about it, and it's going to happen, and it's going to happen fast. And you're going to see oil prices plummet. They're going to come down. There's so much oil out there. They're going to come plummeting down. But even with that, the stock market's at an all-time high. Jobless claims recently hit the lowest level. And since 1969, the best numbers since 1969, and more Americans are working today than at any time in the history of our country. Think of that. And we have a war. We have something happening that I, you know, we just hit, it's very interesting, 2.5 months ago, we hit the best numbers that we've ever hit as a country. Jobs, the best. Everything was the best. Stock market, the highest. And I called my people in. I called them in. I said, congratulations, everybody, but we're going to have to make a little journey down to a place called Iran. We have to stop them. They have nuclear on their mind, and we're not going to let them have a nuclear weapon. And we've done a hell of a job, and I think we're going to be finished with that very quickly, and they won't have a nuclear weapon, and hopefully we're going to get it done in a very nice manner.
I have noticed a very strange behavior among the rich folk. I've been delivering since 2014, and I have never seen the rich folk prepping like they've been doing the last, like, 2 months. They have buying, a lot of them, I have been buying dry foods, buying generators. A lot of them have been trying, getting, like, dry foods, rice, like beans, like all the stuff I've been delivering. And when I deliver, they're like, oh, put it in a garage. One of this other guy, he has his whole entire garage built out. And when I asked him, why is he doing it? He's just like, my gut feeling. So I don't know what they're being prepped for. Why are they buying so many of the, you know, emergencies? Like, but they're buying a lot. They're prepping. And I deliver to, like, people who are earning, you know, million plus. Some of these houses are like $2-3 million. And they're prepping for something. Not to leave or go anywhere. Just, like, to stay in. They're prepping. That's highly suspicious. What do you guys think?
Car blowing up right by the Bull on Wall Street. All right. So Trump says it's peanuts here. What about this? The world has 6 months to avert major food crisis. Politico. Hormuz is triggering it all. Trump blurts stunning gas price rant amid sinking polls. Gas buddy forecasts most expensive summer at the pump in years amid straight concerns. Iran threatens to strike beyond the Middle East if the U.S. resumes attacks. Trump's approval rating in free fall amid unpopular Iran war. F-15s, F-35s, MQ-9 Reaper drones. U.S. says 42 aircraft lost in the war. Got the actual congressional report right here. I don't just believe mainstream media. We'll look at Trump's insider trading. It just has to be done. I can't tacitly, you know, be part of covering it up. We'll look at the Democrats, what they're up to, too. So much. But I want to hit Massey first and what happened with that election and the evidence about it. There was a major hanky-panky skullduggery, chicanery going on. But before I go any further, love the folks at Bigly, thealexshowstore.com. I was in a Dillard's department store about 6 months ago, and I ended up getting one of these little wallets right here. And, again, you just pull the string or the little lash here, and out comes your cards, out comes your money, and it works really, really great. So we've got one that says, don't tread on me, one that says 1776, and I paid about $75 for it, and I really like it. So I sent them one, and I said, I bet we can get the same ones from whoever manufactured this, and I bet we can sell them cheaper. And so they're RFID blocking, and that means also Faraday, because thieves and governments and corporations and all these systems can just grab the data off the chips in your cards, all the rest of it, and they can track you with that as well. So it's the new Freedom Shield wallets. And I'm also going to, they've got some getting made that don't have any Don't Tread on Me or 1776 on them, because those are coming too, but... we've got these in a limited supply. You ask what products are there, just stuff that I think is cool. The new Freedom Shield RFD wallet is here. It comes in two powerful patriotic designs, Don't Tread on Me and 1776, made with top grain leather, grade leather, and aerospace grade aluminum. This thing is slim, strong, secure, and built for everyday carry. Holds up to 25 cards and 20 bills, has RFID blocking protection, a secure cash strap, and quick pull tab access. So you get strength, security, and premium patriotic design all in one wallet. Normal price, $69. Today, it is $49. For VIPs, it is $39.20. That's why everybody should be a VIP. Get $30, spend $30 a month in the store, cancel any time for the VIP. You get $40 each month to spend in the store, special deals, special offers, and discounts on top of all sales and everything else. You're going to buy anything, be a VIP. One click. So get yours now at thealexshowstore.com before these sell out. It's a limited run. And there's another big buy one, get one free sale that's about to end. Get, buy one bottle of T3 iodine, get another one free, or methylene blue, another one free. All right, we're into hour number two. Man, do I have an important transmission in the next 3 hours left for you here. We have just begun. But I'm going to do something right now because some stations don't carry this first five. I want everybody to hear this Thomas Massie election stuff and what's really going on there and the mounting evidence of fraud. And we'll get into some of that. But I just want to remind listeners that I am so busy with all the stuff that's going on. I don't even have time to even cut ads to promote the products for the network. I need to get up off my ass and get that done because we need funds to run this operation. Plus, the products are incredible. So I'm going to cut an ad right now live on air that will then run on the network. So just be ready for that. And then we will come back with all the massive news straight ahead. Now, almost all the products you see at the alexjonesstore.com that funds this operation and keep us on air are products that I use, that I like, that are ideas that I came up with. The knives we have, the supplements, the coins of these new Faraday cage, RFID wallet shields, that's all stuff that I went out and I researched that I thought was cool that I then got Bigley to go out and get. And it took them 6 months, which was actually pretty fast, to get the very wallet that I bought at a nice department store for like $75, $80 six, 7 months ago and really liked because it holds 20 cards, 20 bills. It is high-quality leather and very lightweight, very strong aluminum. This is the wallet for you, folks. It's amazing. We have them two designs, 1776, and Don't Tread on Me. Comes in a nice box. Also is a great gift. The new Freedom Shield wallet. The new Freedom Shield RFID wallet is here. It comes in two powerful patriotic designs, Don't Tread on Me and 1776 with a ring of stars. Made with top grain leather and aerospace grade aluminum, this thing is slim, strong, secure, and built for everyday carry. It'll last years and years and years. It holds 25 cards and 20 bills, has RFID blocking protection and secure cash strap and quick pull tab access. And let me explain this. I know most of you know this, for those who don't. Thieves and criminals and people that corrupt gas stations and places, they don't just put a fake card reader, it's a real card reader, under the reader so that they're getting your information and then selling it and, you know, stealing your identity. They also can scan with just a device that can be in a briefcase or even a small bag. They can scan your cards and get their information off of the chips, okay? And so that's why spies, law enforcement, you name it, for many, many years, spies for decades, but law enforcement, everybody else, accountants, you name it, they all have wallets like this. And we're going to come up with a bunch of other great Faraday purses and wallets and bags because that's something people really want. My marketing research was, I think it's cool. I'm into it. And sure enough, the Faraday bags we've got limited supplies of sell out within days. These are going to sell out very, very quickly as well. I'm cutting this live on air on Wednesday, May 20th, 2026. I would imagine the limited run they got, just 1,000 of each one of the two designs, will probably be sold out in less than a week. So get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com and fund the operation. They also make a great gift. So I paid upwards of the exact amount, like $80 for the one I got and I love. Well, the regular price for these is $69.99, but today, right now on the sale, it's $49. And for VIPs, it's $10 less, $39.20. Now, that's why everybody wants to be a VIP. $30 a month, just like Amazon, you know, Prime, you're Prime member. You instantly get $40 to spend in the store, special deals, special offers, and sales on top of every item on top of the sales. If you're buying anything, be a VIP. And it's not a commitment because it's in your profile. You can one click, unsubscribe anytime you want. Okay, so it is so simple. But then you get all the special deals, the special offers, and then you get the special emails and things, and it reminds you of the great work we're doing. Because I want a long-term relationship with you. I want you to enjoy the products we have. We got a big buy one, get one free sale that ends tomorrow. Flash sale, massive. Buy one T3 iodine tincture, the very best, get another one free. Or ultramethylene blue, the very strongest, get one, buy one free. Or mix and match, buy one or the other, get the other free. At thealexjonesstore.com. But while supplies last, get your new Freedom Shield wallet. I know it's going to sell out quick. It's a great product, and thanks for your support. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Keep us on the air. Thank you so much. We'll be right back. All right. Patrick Byrne is a CIA operative. And that's been just declassified in the last 2 years. And Patrick Byrne is an expert on election fraud and who's running it and how it's happening and on Cuba, Venezuela, all of it. He was the one that nailed it when the invasion was coming, all the rest of it. He's got big news on the Democrats and election fraud, big news on a whole host of issues, exclusive. So I've told Patrick, whenever he's got big stuff he wants to break, call us. He called last night. So that is in the next hour. Then we'll continue on with calls and news in the fourth hour. But we don't screen calls here like normal talk radio, because that's what I am. I'm talk radio on TV, just like Imus was and the rest of it. He really pioneered it, but I was a close second. Most talk radio call in and they talk to you a couple minutes. If it isn't what they want to hear, they don't put you on. That's not what I do. Clean phone line, got your point, you're on. Usually it's just a free-for-all, any subject you want to cover. A lot of times, though, I'll say this particular subject we're covering right now, like when that helicopter, deliberately, the evidence has come out, flew into the passenger jet over Reagan in D.C., I said, I just want air traffic controllers, military, civilian to call in. Incredible 3-4 hours. Dozens and dozens of super smart, amazing people. We knew what happened that day because we had the experts call in, and it all came out months later. They were accurate. So when I do that, I am screening it on air, saying that these are the topics we're talking about. Do you live in Kentucky, or were you a volunteer there from other states? What did you witness? And that means you could be a pro-war, pro-Zionist person. You're welcome to call in. You could be from Massey. I want to hear what you think about what happened, and do you think that was fraud? Because I'm looking at the numbers, and the numbers don't lie. You have statistical anomalies here where it is one chance out of 200 in one of the breakdowns that there would be a 357% increase in voter turnout compared to any other race in that state's history for a Republican primary. Think about that. And then you've got a bunch of mail-in ballots that magically came in and put him up 8 points at the end. When the Pentagon comes in and campaigns against you that has never been done before, they're all about winning the war before it even starts. Okay? And when I saw Hegseth say he's gone tomorrow, and I saw the confidence, I know confidence when I see it, he was gone. And I said, and I was feeling good last week when Massey was 20 points ahead and 25 points ahead in a lot of polls. And in the poly market and the rest of it. And I said, I think he's going to win. But after I said it, I said, my gut said, you're wrong. So I thought about it, I don't know if they ever had time to find the clip. It was an hour and 50-minute interview with Nick Fuentes. But in the middle of the interview yesterday, I said, Nick, what's your prediction? He said, well, I don't know yet. And I said, well, I got a bad feeling. I think he's going to lose tonight. But I said, because of fraud. And again, that's not an endorsement of everything Massey's done or – his voting record, it's not as bad as they say. It's not as good as he says. I believe it's principled votes he's done, but most of what you hear about him is just made-up crap. The issue is having a foreign power come in and brag that they were manipulating our election. Then they have their surrogates, we'll get this in a moment, saying, no, it's anti-Semitic. Israel didn't get involved in this. Netanyahu announced an 8-front war for congressional seats and for censorship here in the U.S. Do I need to play all the clips of him saying it? Or the $500 million they spent last year on propaganda in the U.S. to get us to be pro-war, or the 760-something million last week that the Knesset funded publicly to spend in the United States? What are you talking about? Don't insult my intelligence, Ben Shapiro. I don't care if it's the U.K., the Russians, the Chinese, the Mexicans, the Easter Bunny. What the hell's going on here? You think the Israelis put up with that type of crap? So Israel's bit off more than it could chew with Netanyahu. It has the lowest approval rating in the world in Gallup and other polls, and I see on the street, and it is an absolute sensation to hate Jews and obsess on Jews and all the rest of it. If I wanted to be popular, I'd put a Hitler uniform on. I don't want this clash of civilizations to keep going. I don't want it to all, the whole world to be about the clash between Jews and everybody else. But Israel's been a powerful lobby for a long time, trying to control foreign policy. It's in control of foreign policy, and now it wants control of domestic policy to keep control of foreign policy, and that's not going to end well for anybody. And as much as I distaste the corruption of the Israeli elites and their evil competence, then I look at the Islamic weird Nazi alliance with the left and all the weird behaviors of those people and their deceptions and their craziness, it's a sickness. And the closest groups spiritually are the hardcore expansionist Zionist Greater Israel Project people and their behaviors and their genocidal talk and their kill everybody behavior, and we're going up against the whole world. The behavior is the closest we see is from the Muslims and from the Nazis. So I don't like Nazis, I don't like the expansionist Muslims, and I don't like the expansionist Jews. Okay? So it's important for that to be understood here, because we're all taught you got to be on one side or the other. I'm not on any of these people's side. And Trump, oh, he has a 99% approval rating in Israel. Oh, and 100% of Trump's MAGA base supports this war. No, the vast majority don't. It's delusional. 100% of Israel, or 99%, doesn't support all this crap. Netanyahu has a 15% approval rating. But with parliamentary manipulation, he stays in power. So here's what I want to do. I want to take calls from Kentucky on the election, get your take. So that's one topic you can call in on. And the other topic is, because I want to give people some representation here, because I think we've been on the other side of that, you know, representation, with, you know, Nick Fuentes and others on, I want to hear from Jews. You can be Israeli Jews, American Jews, whatever, dual citizens, whatever. I want to hear from you what you think about this. I want to hear from you, because I'm not even looking for it. And it's just Knesset, top ministers, defense ministers declaring war on Europe, and we're going to goyer our slaves, and, you know, we're going to take down, you know, old Rome that's America, and we're taking all the land, and we're unstoppable, ha, 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 we run America. I mean, it's just like, and then you have the Ben Shapiro's going, oh, Israel's not involved in the election, that's insane, that's anti-Semitic, blah, 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 blah. And then you wonder why anti-Semitism is exploding and all of this obsession, this black hole that's been created, Israel's actions are doing it. Netanyahu is like, it's the social media, that's why everybody hates us. No, most people don't like you and what you're doing. And drones killing little kids, and blowing up water pipelines and churches, and people see it. And people don't want to be part of that. You try to bully them and call them Nazis. That's reverse psychology. A lot of people go, well, fine, I'm a Nazi, I'll Hitler. Because they're not sophisticated. And the average Jew is just like everybody else. They're buying into all this propaganda. And, oh, my God, I better give more money to Netanyahu and to the B'nai B'rith and ADL, because everybody's coming out to get me. And then if you watch Israeli TV, I mean, it is like satirical, the evil crap coming out of their mouths. I mean, if I really wanted to make Israel look bad, we play some of the clips just to document it, but if I want to do some compilations or make a film about this stuff, I mean, it's bad. And then you got the Muslims foaming at the mouth, wanting to dominate and enslave everybody. And I'm just like, get me off this planet. I mean, this is not going to a good place. So I want to hear from Jews. You want to challenge me? You think I'm wrong about something? You agree with me? You got food for thought? Because we need to have a discussion about this, okay? Because all I have is goodwill towards everybody. But I'm not going to be run over. I'm not going to be run by foreign power. I'm not going to be your slave. I'm not going to back down from this. And I believe humanity in the end is going to come together and see through all this crap. So, what'd you see in Kentucky? What's your view on what went down? And I want to hear from Jews on, here we are 86 days in or whatever to this war that Netanyahu convinced Trump to do. And then now here we are. Trump's, it's peanuts. Mass starvation, fertilizer cut off, you know, people going bankrupt everywhere, record bankruptcies in the U.S. Everything's fine. No, it's not fine. And again, I'm going to do more on this evening and more tomorrow. I'll do some today. I've already done the research, but then I ran out of time to highlight it and get it all ready. I've got a bunch of it, but, I mean, the fix was in here, okay? You really believe there was a 357% turnout increase? And they've done the math. It's like 1 out of 200. Do you really think all these magic mail-in ballots just showed up? And then, you know, when he's basically tied with Massey and suddenly all these mail-ins come in, just like they did against Trump in 2000, and then push the Israeli candidate over the top, And yeah, Trump was pissed at Massie for a whole bunch of other stuff. Okay, the Epstein list and voting down spending bills. Yeah. But it's the Israel lobby with the money and AIPAC that said, we're going to go primary all these people that don't support war and don't support Netanyahu. And I've got AIPAC's printouts right here bragging. We got them. We got a whole bunch of these guys. So don't sit there and brag about it and then have Ben Shapiro go up there on TV and say, I'm anti-Semitic because I'm saying I don't want Israel running my life. Get it? How about I show up at your house and tell you what to cook for dinner and tell your wife what to wear and tell you what car to drive? I'm not an animal. I'm not a cow. I got free will. And I know that's only some rabbis and one interpretation. I know all that stuff. A lot of beautiful stuff's come out of Judaism. My point is, you got the worst of your people in charge right now. And if you don't think that's going to cause an explosion, and if you don't think that, you got your crazy leaders conjuring up this confrontation. And I'm here to tell you, I'm not going to be part of it with the Muslims, the Nazis, or you. Because up above it is the eugenics, New World Order, depopulation, death cult, and that's the real cult. And we should all come together against that and unify against it. But by creating this clash, people go into tribalism, and they pick a side. The left, the Muslims, the Nazis, or the crazy, genocidal Likudniks. Like you go on a used car dealership, and the guy goes, well, you got a choice you can make today. He's already implanting in your mind. You can buy this car or you can buy this car. I don't like any of your cars. I'm leaving. I don't want what Israel's selling. I don't want what the Nazis are selling. I don't want what the Muslims are selling. I'm selling Thomas Jefferson. You want to know what I think? Go read what he said. That's who I am. I'm an American. I actually believe in humanity. And I believe in Americans and people that love freedom to stand up for their culture and stand up for their rights and our own self-determination and tell all these groups and all these organizations, the leftists and all of them, want to run our lives and control our lives and be our masters. I want them to know that you will never break our will. America and the West was asleep. And all these attempts to bully us and intimidate us just woke up a sleeping giant. And all your metrics show that. It's a global awakening. You can't stop it. And the more all these groups squeeze and try to bully us into submission, look at the UK as an example, the more it's going to create resistance. But I can look into the future and see the doubling down by Israel and by other factions, and it just threat escalation ladder. And things are already out of control. And then we're all going to be sitting here in a situation way worse than World War II with dead people and starvation everywhere. And we're going to be going, why did we do this? Civilization is very hard to build and very hard to maintain. And when you've got elements running it that want to destroy it for control, that's madness. If you have the best of intentions and try to really be altruistic and build a good world, it's hard. But when you have this attitudes of the establishment and it's a bunch of factions and they're all buying countryside things in the middle of nowhere and bunkers and weapons, that's not how you protect yourself. You protect yourself as a true egalitarian, aristocratic group that actually empowers humanity and lifts it all up, rising tide raises all ships, so that you have a stable world. That is your security. Not fund all the Muslim groups and sneak attack your own country so you can play victim and stay in power and then create this big giant battle of the gods, Guder Dameron. And that's what's going on. It's more global domination insanity. And for people that don't understand it, just I knew when I saw it and I looked it up, he'd rewritten it because he wrote it, the six books, the outlines, before they made Star Wars in the 70s, late 70s. And George Lucas rewrote after 9/11. He rewrote episode 2 and 3 of Star Wars. And he said it's an allegory of 9/11. And what does Emperor Palpatine do? Well, when he's just a senator from a little planet, he hires a criminal group to attack his planet, so you play victim, to become the chancellor. Then he hires this international group to attack the imperial planet so he can become the emperor. And then his real target was the Imperium and the Republic and the voting rights and the old guard, the Jedi. Just like the real target of this Iran war is the global economy and collapsing it so the central banks can launch their new system. Iran is not the primary target in all this. We are. So I've given you a children's movie. And I knew when I saw it, I said, this is an allegory of 9/11. And 6 months later, he's in the New York Times. You can look it up. Saying, yeah, this is an allegory of 9/11. I rewrote it all. This is what really happened on 9/11. Wonder what George Lucas thinks about Emperor Palpatine, Benjamin Netanyahu. Or is Trump Palpatine and Netanyahu is Darth Vader? Because you notice Trump's like, oh, yeah, I can run Israel. I run Israel. You know, no. Netanyahu don't run me. I run him. You know what? I think Trump's been playing the long game. I think Trump is Palpatine. Maybe because he did so much good and got targeted by evil. And I got persecuted for supporting him that it made me support him even more. But I said this about 5 years ago, and everybody, 4 years ago, you pull it up. Alex Jones says Trump may be the Antichrist. People went, what the hell? Jones says Trump's great, but he just said he may be the Antichrist. I'm not saying he's literally the Antichrist, but Antichrist spirit. If you know the Bible, it's many Antichrists, and there's the final one, but there's a spirit. I gave a real statement about my discernment that is very deep, and watching Trump and listening to him and seeing him, he'll flicker this, you know, really nice, sweet, good guy, funny. The energy's good, you know. Not really Christ-like, but just good. And then sometimes it flickers, and it's like a demon. It's the devil. And I said in that rant, I said, it's like a crossroads. It's something going on there. So we're all saying Trump's the puppet of Israel. But Trump said in that clip, we'll play it again in a moment, he said, no, Netanyahu does whatever I tell him. And he basically said, I'm the leader of Israel. I am Solomon. And he is a Solomon-like figure. So let me give the number out. Let's put the number on screen. This is a new number, and I haven't memorized it yet. We would have a 1-800 number, but everything's toll-free now anyways. Let's put the number on screen. We can do that. 512-266-0642. 512-266-0642. We're taking calls on Kentucky and the race, and we're taking calls from Jews. And then Burns popping in, but I'll continue with your calls with him. It's just all the same subjects. I'll take calls with him. 512-266-0642. 512-266-0642. And again, don't be hesitant if you're Jewish to call in. I legitimately don't want to just slap you around and act tough with you. I want to hear what you have to say. I know you're feisty, so you're going to call. 512-266-0642. Have you thought of people spaces out gonna happen here? Think this is feel good where we're going here? I mean, you think that's a good idea? Because I've been working to try to get people involved in policy and better ideas for humanity instead of making everything about what group are you from. But that ship has sailed, at least for now. So you think Benjamin Netanyahu has your best interest in heart, protecting you from the Hezbollah he funds and stood down for it? Or do you think I'm out to get you, huh? Think I secretly have Hitler underwear on? You got a little Hitler swastika on my little secret tattoo or something over here? Think I like that loser set up by British intelligence and the proto-Zionist? No, I don't, because I know too much. No, I don't. And I don't like your bosses either, because they made deals with it. Your granddaddies. I know all about it. I know. I know all the factoids. I know all how to count the cabbage. Do you know? Because you better know. You better know the roads you're on. Here's Massey conceding, talking about he couldn't get a hold of the victor because he was in Tel Aviv. It was a funny joke. Here it is.
And we need basic decency. We need basic decency. That's what the Epstein Files Transparency Act was all about. By the way, today is the 6-month anniversary of the Epstein Files Transparency Act. We've taken out 24 CEOs, an ambassador, a prince, a prime minister, a minister of culture. And that was just 6 months. I got 7 months left in Congress.
All right, here is Massey talking about the Tel Aviv statement, clip 18.
And we need basic decency. We need basic decency. That's what the Epstein Files Transparency Act was all about.
We're playing
about.
The same file again. I'm gonna say it again. Then I'm gonna be very slow here for you. As it was written down here on the piece of paper, 23-18-47, like football code, 23-18-47, 23-18-47, 23-18-47, 23-18-47. Sound good? Good. We don't have time now. We'll come back with it. 23-18-47, 23-18-47, 23-18-47. Be right back. Stay with us. Be sure to visit the news site. They hope you don't share it. They hope that you just hide where we're at. But you're not going to let them do that. AlexJonesLive.com. AlexJonesLive.com. And on Rumble at Rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live. Those are the coordinates. At the grocery store last night, I had a lady come over and say, oh, I'm so sad you're off the air. I miss your show. And then I interrogate him. Oh, when's the last time you listened? Oh, 3 weeks ago. This morning, both bank managers went into the bank, did some stuff. Oh, God, I was just listening a few weeks ago. Are you going to get back on the air? We never missed a beat. We're on the same radio stations, satellites, everything. AlexJonesLive.com is the new news site with the news feeds, all of it. Rumble.com/AlexJones, The Alex Jones Show Live. It's all right there. And I know you know that. You're tuned in. So tell everybody you know and those you don't know that that's happening. Now, Patrick Byrne really wanted to get on today, but his plane got delayed, so he's on tomorrow. And that's good because I was kind of frustrated that I went to the calls in the second hour and he was going to come up. I don't want to make you sit there on hold. That's great. I'm in the mood for a lot of phone calls. Now, we got most of the callers called in from Kentucky on the election, their take. We got one fellow that says he's Jewish, Mark in Pennsylvania. We'll talk to him as well. We'll take these calls in the order that they are received. And as soon as you hear a caller hang up, we'll put the number back on screen. That is your chance to get in on the phone system, 512-266-0642, 512-266-0642. Because I really want to war game this. I really want to, you know, have a discussion about all of this. Now, I'm going to hit some of the Massey news, and then I'm going to go to your calls. But here's what I'm telling you. I spent 3 hours at least, and I mean laser focus. That's a lot. When I'm researching, it's not like, it's like I'm on it. Looking at the anomalies and the things that came in, and I'm telling you right now, we got hanky-panky going on here. And the very same tricks they used against Trump, it appears, were used against Massey. And this isn't about a cult of personality thing. I got issues with Massey. This is about a foreign power coming in and admitting they did all this, and Ben Shapiro trying to deny it. I got AIPAC. I posted it on X. I reposted MTG's tweet with AIPAC, you know, saying, yeah, we did it. We beat him. We beat the other people. And they're overstating Trump's power because most of the people, the Georgia governor and the people in the rhinos in Indiana and all, and then the guy in Louisiana, they were Democrats but calling themselves Republicans. So I'm like, that's all great. And Trump endorsed Ken Paxton over Senator Cornyn. Beautiful. Ken Paxton's great. So people say, well, wait, you're Trump's bad, but you're now giving him a blowjob. No, I mean, I'm just calling what it is. So I see, oh, Trump, big victory, Trump's power. It's easy with all the money he's got controlling the RNC and foreign Israeli money and other money, big tech money, to go in and target and get what he wants done for primaries. The general election, according to all the polls and the experts that are the most accurate records, like Mitchell and others, is doom. And Trump's approval rating is super low. And I don't just believe the polls. I talk to people on the street. All my friends, family, all of them have been Trump supporters. Some weren't 10 years ago when I was, but at least the last 7, 8 years, they're all on board. They weren't Democrats, but they just didn't, you know, trust him. They didn't like all the flair and the beauty pageant stuff and, you know, the casinos and all that. I mean, I get it. It's my folks. It's my crew. It's my peoples. We're just kind of a little more low-key around here. Fancy pants stuff is a little creepy. Just to say, you know, a little weird when people are obsessed with it. But that's where we are. And so I'll cover some of this today, and I'll get to more of it tomorrow because I really want to prepare for this. And I want to triple check. I've double checked already. And then what do we do? Because Massey wants to take the high road. And I know the inside baseball. I'll leave it at that. MTG is not running for office anytime soon. Probably never. She wanted out. She's sick of it, demoralized. She totally believed in Trump. And he called her and said, I don't care. I don't care about any of this. I don't want my friends embarrassed. And she just, it hurt her. Then he attacked her and lied about her. And the same thing with Massey. That guy's got a successful farm. He loves to do what he does. He's been there 12 years, and I think he just fades away. He'll do some interviews and stuff, and I mean, that's it. Worst congressman in U.S. history. Give me a break. Everybody knows that's Ilhan Omar, or maybe Rashid Tlaib. I don't know. But that's where we are here. And so Massey is not challenging this, but he really should be doing a paper recount. They should be looking at the mail-in ballots that came in the afternoon. Magically, they were almost all for his opponent. And again, I said a week ago when he was 20-something, 25 points ahead in Polymarket, I said, I bet he wins. I hope so. And then I said yesterday with Fuentes, you guys ever have any luck finding that clip from the show? Still looking. You all saw it yesterday. I said to Fuentes, I said, I think he loses today. I have a bad feeling. I think it's going to be fraud because of the confidence I saw in Hegseth. So let's go to that clip now that I was trying to get to earlier. Here is Massey, 23, concedes his Kentucky race. Welcome to the most expensive congressional primary ever. It is in the 250-year history of the country. Here it is.
All right. Listen, I would have come out sooner, but I had to call my opponent and concede, and it took a while to find Ed Gowrine in Tel Aviv. I did get the call through, though. I have called and conceded the race. We've been honorable the whole time, and we're going to stay that way. You know, welcome to the most expensive congressional primary ever in the 250-year history of this country. It's not just the most expensive. This thing went on longer than Vietnam. It started 9 months ago, and they didn't even have a candidate, and they decided they want to take me out.
Now, here's Gallerine at his campaign headquarters celebrating. And I mean, you just look at these people. There's like 30 people, 40 people in the room. They're all stumbling around drinking whiskey. And it's like, where's the energy? This is what beat Massey, who's got a ballroom of thousands of people in it. I mean, come on, folks. Here's a clip. to get to Nick Fuentes' response, but I'm going to take some calls first. I got a bunch more to get to, and then the real anomalies that are basically impossible unless there's manipulation. But this is a message that if you challenge anything Trump's doing with this war, that's what Hegseth came and said. I'm here to campaign against him because he's getting in the middle of this war and he should get in line and support this war. He's an elected representative. We elect him to do what he thinks is best. You shouldn't have the Secretary of Defense out campaigning against a congressional member that controls the power of the purse. That's the dog biting the owner. We'll go to your calls, but first I want to play a clip of Ben Shapiro. Yesterday before Massey lost, and he's like, you're stupid. You're stupid if you think Israel was involved. Israel's not involved at all. Trump was mad about all the other things. Israel, and it was a bunch of stuff Trump was pissed about, but Israel lobby has the money and the power, and they gave 90% of the money to, quote, win the race. And AIPAC, I posted it on X, is bragging that they did this. So don't sit there and tell me while the Israel lobby's bragging they did it, and then tell me I'm stupid because I know what you just did. Because you don't want to debate about a foreign power manipulating our internal operations. Here it is.
Not a surprise that Massey's friends are all of the most conspiratorial anti-Israel people on planet Earth. That would include Cenk Uygur, right, who put out a tweet. If Representative Thomas Massey loses tomorrow, the Republicans will become Israel's party. It's about Israel. By the way, it's not about Israel. I'll explain in a moment. Republicans will give them as much of our money as possible and go to war for them whenever they ask. Israel 100% control the GOP because every member will be scared to death of opposing them. Now, again, the reason why Massey is in hot water here has nothing to do with his stance with regard to Israel. It has everything to do with his stance with regard to conspiratorial nonsense about Jeffrey Epstein and the fact that he has voted against a wide variety of President Trump's priorities in Congress. He's sort of a Ron Paul figure who votes against large priorities of the Republican Party, which has ticked off President Trump pretty extraordinarily. Massey is trying this dumb routine. Massey himself is out there saying that Israel is trying to buy his seat in Congress. Again, my dude, like this tactic is one of the dumbest tactics. I just have to say, it's a tactic made for stupid people. And the reality is that people who are pro-Israel do not like Thomas Massey because Thomas Massey has engaged in every conspiracy theory it is possible to engage in and has made common cause with the most anti-Israel people. That's true. But the reason that Thomas Massey is actually in trouble is because the Trump administration has decided to oppose him on the basis of completely other issues. And so the usual game that is now played right now on the right, in the very podcast-istan right, the game that is played is there will be a critique that has nothing to do with Israel. And the first thing you do is you claim that it's about Israel in an attempt to gin up the crazier part of the Republican base.
All right, so here is MTG posted this morning. I reposted on X at Real Alex Jones. Here is AIPAC saying Ed Gowring's victory in Kentucky and Clay Fuller's win in Georgia ensures two outspoken pro-Israel voices are positioned to fill seats previously held by outspoken detractors Thomas Massey and Marjorie Green. Our community was proud to help pro-Israel candidates win their races. But the issue is a bunch of people are dual citizens and it's foreign money. And Netanyahu said it's an eight-front war. Can we show the full tweet with Marjorie Green's comments? Thanks. Now, they did find the clip from yesterday, at least one of the clips. I said it a bunch. Yeah, there's MTG. It's not anti-Semitic conspiracy theory when a foreign lobby openly brags that they bought two congressional seats with candidates who will be loyal to Israel. But Ben Shapiro says Israel had nothing to do with the elections. So there it is yet again. But you just heard Shapiro say that's not the case. Look, Ben, you already destroyed yourself. You have no audience left. But I understand you got a mission to carry out. You probably are, you know, a commissioned officer in the IDF, whatever. The point is that you recognize we don't want to run your country. You don't run ours. This is a bad war. It's destroying the world economy. It's going to starve tens of millions to death. It's already happening. Get off your high horse and knock it off. I'm going to go to your calls in a moment. But they found a clip from Nick Fuentes yesterday where I predicted that the fix was in. Here it is. Never, and I've looked it up, never has a defense secretary gone around and campaigned. We elect people, they fund the military, and the military follows the president's order. You don't run around as Secretary of Defense speaking out against elected representatives and campaigning against them. This is the military directly involved in our politics, not just the CIA running all these Navy SEALs. So this is so dangerous and so wrong, and that's why when I saw that, I said, that's it. Whatever they got to do, he's not winning tonight, in my view, barring a miracle. Or if he does win, they're going to kill him. Yeah, that's part of the clips, but yeah, I go into those specifics. But so I just knew when I saw Hegseth, so that's where we were at. All right. Let's go to your phone calls now. No guests next hour. We're going to go through everybody's calls. Thank you so much for holding. Let's go to Hunter in Kentucky first, then Mark in Pennsylvania. Hunter in Kentucky, you're on the air. What do you think about what I've said? What do you have to say?
Well, I'd say I speak for a lot of people in Kentucky in regards to this, that we were kind of blindsided. But at the same time, it's tough to say that you couldn't really see it coming with all of the money that they funneled into this. And the thing that upsets me the most is nobody knows who this Ed guy is. I'm from here. I've lived here my entire life. You didn't really hear anything about him till like 2 weeks ago, and then all of a sudden he unseats Massey. It just stinks to high heaven. Thanks for taking my call. Y'all keep up the great work.
God bless you. Are you still there, Hunter?
Yeah, I'm still here.
What do you make of, there's a breakdown on InfoWars on, sorry, AlexJonesLive.com. Nobody's buying Massey's election loss. AIPAC-funded opponent increases voter turnout by 357%. They've had mathematicians, and I've checked it myself, do the numbers. That's one out of a 200 chance that you would have that much increase when no other – that's never happened in Kentucky or anywhere else before. The voter turnout was absolutely stratospheric, and then Massey's opponent won when a bunch of mail-in ballots came in the afternoon, which is the classic tactic. What do you make of that?
That's what I was getting at in the stinking to high heaven thing is I saw the 10,000 something mail-in ballots that turned up towards the end of it. And then I had read something earlier today saying that, voter IDs can be purchased for like $30 or something. And apparently that's something super easy to do to register to vote in Kentucky, which.
Yeah, when he spent $400+ million, Zuckerberg did that in still 2020. He went and all over the states got all the ID numbers so they could create the duplicates and engage in fraud.
And then, not to be a black pillar or anything, but it kind of just, takes the sting out of your ability to vote. It's like, what's the point? Like, we show up, we do everything we're supposed to do, and then these foreign lobbyists and these super PACs just funnel their infinite wallets into these campaigns that render our votes useless. And it's just, it's infuriating.
No, I hear you. But the Great Awakening's here. And the problem is Trump, instead of fighting what was done to him, he's now adopting what was done to him. He hires the Democrat head lawyer and now makes deals and works with the Democrat law firms that attacked him to attack me. I mean, Trump has Darth Vader. He has joined Emperor Palpatine. Maybe he is Palpatine. And it's so sad. And if we don't put major pressure on him, he'll just get worse. But I don't think he even cares. I mean, I don't think he even cares. It's and the Democrats are going to slaughter us in the midterm. Sorry, go ahead.
It's tough to say that he cares. I mean, what people's actions speak more than their words, and he could say whatever he wanted to say. But everything that he's doing is contrary to everything that he ran on. And it's just, it comes back to like the traitor is the plague thing. And that's effectively the situation we're confronted with, I guess.
Yeah, guys, pull up the Roman quote, Cicero. Roman quote, statesman and philosopher Cicero, the traitor is the plague. Thanks for the call. Great points. I'll read that as soon as you have it put on screen. Thank you. Great job. All right. Mark in Pennsylvania is Jewish. I appreciate you calling, Mark. Give us your take on what you think's going on, all the things that are unfolding. And I know if I was a Jewish person, and there's a lot of diverse Jewish ideas and things out there, I would be pretty freaked out right now, the direction the world's going on so many fronts. What's your take and what's your critique of what I've been saying?
I appreciate you taking my call there, Mr. Jones, and I want to tell you that I'm a VIP Platinum member also. I love that methylene blue. It does wonders. But I want to tell you something, that you are not going to win this war. Israel is going to win. We got Trump wrapped around our fingers, and it's done. It's over with. That's it. There's no more, mister.
All right. Here's the deal. I want real Jewish people to call in. I'm sure they tried and didn't get through the phone lines. It's obvious you're doing a fake voice. It's obvious you're being sarcastic. Okay? So this is, I mean, have you thought where this all goes, this clash of civilizations? I don't want this to happen. This is not going to be good for anybody. So what is your real view? What is your real view? Be serious and tell me your real view on Israel, since you're not Jewish.
My real view is what I'm saying. My real view is that. I'm telling you that right now, mister.
We got you wrapped around our finger. I don't know. Some of the Jewish leaders are so arrogant they're actually talking like that, but so, come on, man. Seriously.
They're the best. That's Shilajit. I'm telling you, it is the best. I take those one in the morning. I actually take two. You're not supposed to, but my Lord, I take two.
Is this
a
talk show host or something? Is why you're doing a fake voice so people don't know who you are?
No, and I'm telling you, this is me. This is my.
All right, well, tell me. What are you an Orthodox Jew or are you Reformed? Or, tell us about
I'm
your.
Jew.
I'm a Jew. Yeah. Well, tell me about your Jewishness.
Well, my Jewishness started a long time ago, you see. And then it started way back in the day when I was born. I came out and I was a Jew and I practiced Judaism the whole way.
And the moil came over and had a little snack on my wiener?
And I, that's right, mister. And you leave my wiener out of your mouth. I'll slap it out of you. We'll go toe-to-toe, you see. We'll go to the cage. I'll take you down. You can hike all you want, Mr. Jones. I take all your products, so you better watch out. You better watch out. But
you sound like a Looney Tunes character.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. I truly appreciate that.
Are you trying to do a Max Kaiser imitation?
No, actually, my name is Mark, and I'm from Philadelphia, PA, and this is who I am.
So I ask you a question. What type of Jew are you?
I'm Orthodox.
Oh, really? All right, I appreciate your call. That's not a real Jewish person calling in. I'm trying to have a serious discussion here. We're in day 86, whatever the war. It's destroying the economy. This is a disaster, folks. This is what Marcus Cicero said. Tullius Cicero, a nation can survive its fools. Let me do the right voice. A nation can survive its fools and even the ambitious, but it cannot survive treason from within. An enemy at the gates is less formidable, for he is known and carries his banners openly. But the traitor moves amongst those within the gate freely. His sly whispers and rustling through all the alleys, heard in the very halls of government itself. The traitor is the plague. Yeah, that's not the full speech, but that's good enough. So there we are, my little green friend. Let's go to Dan in Kentucky on the election. Welcome, Dan.
Hey, Alex, thank you for taking the call. Great look on the new show.
Thank you, sir.
And the McConnell machine has been rigging elections in Kentucky for the last 50 years. And I have strong conviction that the McConnell machine, the Pentagon, and Israel rigged it, this time against Thomas Massey. I mean, how can some hillbilly, Ed Gallerian, nobody can even pronounce his last name, nobody's heard of him, how can he get 57,000 votes in this 2026 primary when the total ballots cast in the entire 2024 primary between Massey and his opponents in the same district was only 52,000 votes. There's obviously a lot of similarities between the abnormal election numbers in this race and what we saw in the 2020 Biden election.
And then we have the magic 10,000 plus, the exact winning margin that magically arrived right on time.
It's just unbelievable. It's incredible. You know, my prediction, Alex, is that Gal Green is going to become a major spotlight in Kentucky politics, similar to how McConnell was the spotlight for corruption with his connection to the Chinese in Kentucky politics, and really demonstrate the fraud and the rigged voting machines and the mail-in ballot process, not just in general elections, but in local elections as well.
What are folks in Kentucky saying in general? Are they smelling a rat like you are?
You know, I mean, the 10-15 people I've talked to, you know, they've all voted for Massey. They've never even heard of the Gallerian guy. They don't know who he is. They think his campaign is being run by foreign operatives. I mean, nobody even knows the people. If you look in the winning speech he gave last night, all the people kind of smirking in the background that are his handlers operating the campaign. You know, those are his handlers. So it'll be interesting to see if this guy can, you know, answer any serious questions.
Good points. Thank you, brother, for calling. Back in 2 minutes. More calls straight ahead. Stay with us. And Alan from Florida. What a nightmare world. We're right back to World War II. We're right back to Jew or anti-Jew. And the globalist above it all manipulating the whole thing, bringing us towards total oblivion. Not good, folks. Not a good situation. We talk about the mad scientist, the geoengineering, the New World Order, the poison shots, the AI, the robot takeover, the aliens, all of it. But no, everything's the Middle East. Everything is on and on and on and on and on. Trump, I'm going to probably be the Israeli prime minister now. And Israel, yeah, we came in and won those elections, but don't say we did or you're anti-Semitic. It's just like, God, give me a break. What a disaster. Let's go to Alan in Florida, who says he's Jewish. I appreciate him calling. Hopefully he's not a joker like the caller before last. What is your take on the whole situation? Go ahead.
I am definitely not a joker. This is a very serious situation here. And I stopped trusting this government back around 9/11 when my brother was supposedly killed on one of those planes. I do not support anything that's going on with this. As far as our involvement with Israel, Israel needs to fight their own battles, their own wars. We should have nothing to do with this. We should just be taking care of our own country. I think, you know, Trump was doing a good job for the first year, and then he turned around 180 degrees, and we've got a total mess out there.
Yeah, he seems to think the Strait of Hormuz and the fertilizer and the fuel crisis is not a big deal. He seems like we're Marie Antoinette.
We are headed for a disaster here. And I don't support wars at all. One of the reasons I voted for him is he said he was the president of peace. There weren't going to be any of these major wars.
Do you buy his claim that 99% of MAGA supports him and that 99% of Israel supports him? We know that's horse crap.
Yeah, not even close. And I can tell you that everybody that I know personally that was a supporter has backed away from this. We think he's lost his mind at this point. But the point is, I'm saying is, you know, living in this society, you know, just because I happen to be born Jewish doesn't mean I support any of this. I've been a patriot for many years.
Oh, I know that. I understand that. And then, and so what I'm asking you is then, not just talking to, you know, everybody else, but talking to other Jews in Florida, if you had to do a dead reckoning, I mean, Trump says 99% support this. Obviously, we know that's not true. Just kind of canvassing you, what's the feeling you get talking to fellow Jews?
So I would say it's mixed. Some of these people say, well, we got to stick with Israel no matter what because they're the Jewish state and all of this, and the intelligent ones actually do not support this at all. They realize what this whole thing is rigged and what it's all about and how disgusting the whole process is here with all the killing. And I mean, these are war crimes we're talking about here. It's disgusting.
Yeah, and then Netanyahu goes, oh, but we got attacked. Yeah, you funded Hamas and stood down. It's like, we're not endorsing the Muslims.
I don't believe when Trump says that he's running things. I think he was blackmailed into this.
Well, I mean, Netanyahu's convicted. He needs this. Maybe Trump's right. They should pardon him. The president should pardon him. So Netanyahu, you think Netanyahu would go away, though, if he got pardoned? He seems to love this.
Yeah. And the globalists are certainly bent on destroying everything and trying to pick up the ashes. You know, everything that you said on Endgame, I mean, it's exactly what's happened here. At the beginning of 2020, when they released COVID, I was telling everybody they're trying to kill us. They'll have a shot coming out later this year. I warned so many people not to take that shot. They wouldn't listen to me. A lot of them got very bad effects.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess the point is, when it comes to this, I think it's disgusting. It's disgraceful. And I think there'll be a reckoning for this later on.
Oh, I agree. The Israel lobby thinks they just won the war. No, they won a battle. They lost the war. But then there's the effects of that, which is even worse. All right, I want to rush through your phone calls here, and then I'm going to pause, hit some other news we haven't gotten to yet. And then I want to continue on with your calls, and Matt Bracken joins me to talk about the geopolitical developments here. But it is a 100% fact that 80-something days into this, a third of world fertilizer didn't get delivered. It's already causing massive problems, not just in other countries, but here. And we're not as unself-sufficient as other countries. And it's already causing mass inflation. Trump's recovery is being derailed. Howard Lutnick wrote the tariff deals to be defeated. He bet against it himself and made billions. And now the Supreme Court has struck it all down. And Trump's plan is failing. And then the Kool-Aid drinkers that are deep in the Kool-Aid are just everywhere. You're a traitor. You're a Muslim. You're a Marxist. You're a Russian agent. Trump's going to win $85 trillion D chess. He's invincible. Shut up. And I'm just proven right again and again and again. This is not hard to predict. This stuff is very simple. And I'm just in horror right now. Absolute horror. Now, we had one caller call in. I said I wanted to hear from Jews on their view on all this. And a fake guy basically impersonating, so he could defame people. And I don't think that's fair to do that. It's not a joke. And then you had another guy who was very serious. And I appreciate his call. So if we're taking calls on Kentucky, we're taking calls on Israel, and Israel openly manipulating our elections, openly involved, openly swinging his dick around, and then what comes out of that? It just deepens the crisis. It just goes on and on and on and on. And then all the unsavory characters on the other side, that's why I'm in a rock and a hard place here. With Israel's leadership being so villainous, then the opposition to it, in many cases, is just drooling. And then you get somebody real like Massey that's eloquently opposing stuff that's just wrong. He gets sidelined and thrown overboard. It's incredible. Absolutely incredible. So let's rampage through your calls. Who's been holding the longest here? That's who I'll go to. Jeff in Kentucky, the Ty, Justin, Kyle J. Jeff in Kentucky, thanks for holding your own ear.
Hey, thanks, Alex. Appreciate the time. I'll tell you one thing. Lie, cheat, steal, murder. It's a great ground game for these deep staters. Massey did not lose. I am not voting. I'm not going to vote. 2020, Sidney Powell Linwood said that the Kraken was going to be released. Whatever happened, nothing happened. I'm getting sick and tired of this happening all over the country. We're being lied, and the elections are stolen. Just like what Stalin said, it's not about who votes. It's about who counts the votes. That's what's happening. I had a professor in college.
And as you said, that's what Stalin said. He was right. I don't care who casts the vote. I care who counts them.
Yeah. And a professor told me in college in a criminal justice class, he said, crime does pay. And it hit me like a ton of bricks. And that's when it really hit me that we're all under a deep state covert operation. And that's what we're dealing with here.
I agree. Crime pays if you get in with organized crime, elite government groups, corporate crime syndicates. It pays for a while. They'll usually burn you if they need to. They feed on their own. It pays up front, but it also destroys you in the end. But my problem is, and I'm not saying I'm some holier-than-thou guy, I don't think about scams. I don't think about weasel moves. I don't think about how do I target dumb people. I want smart people. I want to do a good job, have an association with them. I just genetically, I know how to study corruption and how it works, but I have no implementation of it. But you look at, they're like, I'll never forget the guy that wrote Obamacare. Gruber or whatever his name was, he got up in all these interviews on TV and said, I taught Obama how to lie. We tripled prices and raped all his constituents. It's so funny for insurance companies. It makes you think Mangione's a good guy. He just sits up there and just brags to university PhD scholar groups about, I'm going to teach you how to lie. They're like, just, oh, God, teach me how to manipulate people. You destroy civilization when you dumb people down and then feed on them like they're cattle. That will bite you in the ass every time. You've got to raise them up. But that's what the knowledge of evil is, though. When you got Adam and Eve or the archetypal humans, it wasn't they were retarded. It was they were pure. It was all perfect. They were just good. But then they were given the knowledge of evil, which are these viruses, these systems that once you get into them, they create their own systems. And that's where we are right now. Anything else?
Yeah, I won't mention his name. I grew up with a cabinet person in Trump's first term, and they had a falling out. You can probably imagine who that was, but they had a falling out, and I haven't spoken to my friend in probably 3 years, so I'll never know what happened between him and Trump. But something's going on with Trump. We all know that. Something just thanks to high heaven. You know, if he's taken on by Netanyahu and that whole team,
he acts, I agree, he acts like 70% different than the old Trump, and every week it gets worse. You see the conversion over. So is it pure blackmail, or did he just decide to join them through expediency?
Good question. Why aren't the Epstein files released completely? What is all of this being hidden from us? What's going on?
Well, here's my problem. I study so much stuff, it's hard to even cover all the stuff I know is right. If I started trying to lie or what's going to happen if I say this, I couldn't imagine living like that. But that's what most of these people live like. This morning, I decided not to lift weights because I only slept like 3 hours last night. So I got in my car and drove to another neighborhood that has a golf course on it. The sun's coming up and I'm, just dressed normal, t-shirt, shorts, shoes. And there were already mainly older couples against this neighborhood I drove over to. And I'm just walking, and I saw how they were timid. They were scared when I walked by, and they'd see other people and act weird. And I was just watching, how scared they were. And so much of the public is just, catatonic of political correctness, everything. I don't know why I'm telling that story. I walked by, 50 couples. Mainly, it was all husbands and wives out walking on this this golf course before it opened up, and they all looked like they were deer in the headlights. It was just weird. I was like, I felt like their souls were sucked out. Because I walked by 5-6 couples, and I'm like, and the woman would be like, I'll be walking, and she'd kind of like go, ooh, when I was walking by. I'm like, God, I don't have upside down pentagrams and upside down crosses, tattoos or anything. But I was just like, looking at him. I was like, what happened to these people? I don't even know why I bring that into the context of this. It's just we have become so tame, and it's time to get out of our comfort zone and stop giving a damn. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, people in this country, they just want to have their barbecues and just tend to the families. They do not want to hear the bad things that are really happening to us. Their head is in the sand. They do not want to know what's really happening.
And I can't imagine that selfishness. Like, they think that they're getting ahead by not caring when it's the opposite. Thanks for the call. I don't know why I even told that story. It was just like, or maybe everybody knows who I am or something. It was just weird. So I'm like, because I go to parks and places and all over and hike. Sometimes I go to the, I go all the time to where they have the fire department roads where nobody's at. I just walked for 10 miles. I wouldn't see not one person. All these cool ponds and everything. It was just amazing. But today I went where people are at, and it was just like, I'd be walking, and the women would just like, they're like all scared of me. I was like, what is going on here? What are they seeing when I come walking up? I guess I look like Lex Luthor or something. I don't know. But my point is, these are pussies. What's going on? Or are they possessed? Or, what do they see when I walk by? Like, they're a body snatcher or something? I don't know. It was weird, man. It was weird. But But everybody instinctively knows the end of an era is here. They're all having anxiety deep down. And so I guess with me, I'm like carrying all this energy and this weight of all this. And I guess, you know, you're walking along and the sun's coming up and it's just getting light. And here comes Alex Jones marching towards you. I guess it just, but it just happened over and over and over and over. And I was like, let me just really walk really nice. Maybe I'm walking aggressively. Let me just walk really wimply. I didn't even slow down. And I didn't like, oh, let me. I said, well, there's another one 100 yards up before they see me. Let me just kind of walk slow, get my phone out. By the end, I was doing like a test. I'm like, and I'm sitting there on my phone walking like, you know, a mile an hour. And I look over and the people are looking at me in horror. I don't know what it was. It was weird, man. Let's go ahead and talk to Jay in Alabama, who's Jewish. He wants to give his take on the situation and all this craziness. What's it like, Jay, to be the center of attention?
Shalom, Baruch Hashem. Rabbi Alex Jones. I belong to a Chabad down here in Alabama, which was the last place I thought I would ever belong to. After being from Massachusetts, I grew up in a somewhat orthodox setting. And that Zev Zelenko, the rabbi, there's three rabbis there. One's kind of a Zionist, one's kind of like you and I, and then there's another one, I can't quite figure him out. But I would love you to speak with Rabbi Yoshi Freeman and or his dad, Rabbi Manus Friedman. And there's a lot that I hear on here, and I've been listening to you for years. I take all your products. I take 13 different supplements every day.
Thank
almost.
You.
And I love them all.
But I think what you're getting here is people don't get the diversity of rabbis and Jewish thought, and they'll hand pick, and then they'll demonize it off of a few statements here and there. Where I'm defending there, then I get upset by what Netanyahu's doing, which is obviously incendiary for part of a larger plan. But sorry, I love Zeb Zelenko. What a beautiful soul, what a great man. Was so sad when he died. Yeah, he was on the week before he died. He said, I'm having heart surgery, I'll probably die, but I love you all. He was so strong, and I was so sad when he died.
I was listening. So, but a couple things that I'm not the most learned individual. That's why those rabbis that I mentioned, Freeman, there's about 11 of them, and they're all wonderful people. And they're welcoming, and they're easy to talk to, not like that. And I got nothing against Lomo, what's his name there? The rabbi you had on the other day. I don't even know why you talked to him. I wouldn't talk to him. But anyways.
Well, he asked to come on. You're talking about Shmoly.
Shmoly, yeah. But he is intelligent. So I will give him that, but he's a bit of a he's got in his mind. I understand. I've been listening to you for 20 years, so I understand what happened in the baloney. I won't swear that happened up in Connecticut. I understand. So, but there are very orthodox parishioners, I guess, or part of the congregation there that listen to you there also, and. Then there are some that think, you know, they're only reading and getting little clips, so you kind of been tainted. But I go in there and I wear my Alex Jones with right shirt and my hat, my black hat there with the InfoWars and all that. Anyways, I'm a bit of a...
Well, you understand what I'm doing. I want everybody to stop this, so I'm nice to everybody. So
what I'd love to see is everybody kind of have a communication where people got along. You know, I have friends that are Arabs that are here in America, and we get along just great. We eat the same food, and, you know, we discuss. Well, I'm a truck driver, of all things, and that nobody can believe a Jewish truck driver, but I'm a Jewish truck driver, and I'm doing very well, and I'm very grateful that I've been here for 18 years, and I've been driving since 1988. But, you know...
Hey, I was a large animal vet assistant, and you'd be surprised in East Texas how many Jews there are running their own farms, their own ranches, and people think like Jews are only doctors and lawyers. There's Jews doing everything.
Yeah, but there's two things I wanted to say. You said the other day, Purim. It's not Purim, it's Purim.
Sorry, I get everything wrong. Sorry, I've been.
Yeah, no big deal.
I can barely speak English. Come on.
Yeah, and then,
I don't have a teleprompter either. So remember, I'm just like, you know.
And then Tucker Carlson, who I've listened to for 20, 30 years, that I love. But he's not real liked right now because the Megillah is read every Purim, and The Megillah is the Book of Esther. And the Book of Esther, he got it all wrong. But I don't, you know, he's not Jewish, and so he doesn't know the Book of Esther. And essentially, Esther saved the Jewish people from being killed by King Ahasuerus, and because somebody wouldn't bow to Haman. And because he said, I only bow to God. And that was, anyways, it's a lot. But the rabbi that I'm talking to you about, I think I would just love to have you have a good conversation on the goodness of Judaism. This rabbi, he goes around and lights menorah lights in Alabama.
Well, let's do this. Let's do this. I'll put you on hold if you can give me his name, if you got his number. I would love, you know, we had some super ultra Orthodox Jews show up like days before InfoWars got shut down 2 weeks ago. And I had to go to a legal meeting, so I drove by, and they had these big signs out. And I said, oh, those are ultra-Orthodox Jews. I bet they're like Nutricardi or something. I said, you know, Rob did was the office to go out and interview them. And, you know, we talked to them and got their whole view on it. But I want to have bigger discussions. I want to have larger discussions about all that. And I appreciate your call. Get Jay's info and the name of that rabbi again. I know he says Freeman, but there's a lot of Freemans out there. So maybe you can give us the information or a website or something. All right, let's go to the next caller, the longest holding here. That would be Justin in Kentucky on the election. Justin, go ahead.
Hey, Alex, long-time listener. I've been listening to you since 2015, right before you started supporting Trump. I bought your first book signed, loved it. I even got it on the Audible.
Thank you. I was surprised
it was on there so I could listen to it at work.
Thank you.
My favorite supplements are Brain Force and your iodine. I don't even know if you can get the Brain Force anymore, but the Brain Force Ultra, I loved it.
We need to bring that back.
Yeah, so... What I call for is I live here in Indiana. I'm a purebred Indiana Christian boy. I live 5 minutes from Kentucky, where that district is from Massey. And just like all the other callers that called in, you know, I work with these people from Kentucky. You know, I don't they come across the river. I can go across. It's not very far. There ain't nobody that knows who this Ed Gehling guy is. Nobody knows who he is. I mean, this is Massey country. I mean, it's either somehow they managed to brainwash all these old school MAGA folks, or they stole it. I mean, there's no way.
Well, I think it's a mix of both. I mean, they ran massive TV, radio ads, print ads. But
yeah.
But how do you get a 357% increase in turnout, and how do you have 10,000 plus votes that magically appear a few hours before in mail-in that are basically all for this guy?
It's that Israel lobby, man. Something's got to be done about it. You know, nobody seems to even really care up there in D.C. I mean, it's a problem. I'm totally, you know, I love this administration the first 4 years, and it was good for, you know, when he got reelected. I voted for Trump 3 times. But I'm telling you right now, I'm off of it. I'm off of it, man. I'm not a war guy at all. I don't like war. And he was supposed to be the, you know, anti-war president, and here he is. I mean, we're getting ready. World War III, World War IV coming.
What are you, an Iranian agent? I've been called an Iranian agent. Trump's like, if you elect Kamala, she'll go to war with Iran. That'll close the strait. That'll kill the economy. Yeah. You vote for me, you get peace. And I'm like, hey, you're going back against your promise. Shut up, traitor.
Hey, another thing is I watch you on Rumble, you know, almost every day, and I listen to your work, you know, on my headphones, whatever. I have never, ever one time been censored on your Rumble channel for anything I say. But today I went on several different Rumble channels and just simply said it was stolen from Massey, it's fraud. Guess what? Bang, censored. It's unbelievable. These people are showing themselves. They're all showing their asses, man. Excuse me for.
So you're saying you were like in the Rumble's been the best free speech outlet out there. You're saying you were on Rumble,
Rumble chat, and some of the big channels. I can't remember all the names of them or whatever, but you know the ones they put up there and highlight in the morning. You know, I got on there and just type Massey one. This is a fraud. Bam. Muted, silenced, you're done. It's just, why would you censor, you know, something like that?
Well, let me tell you, the Pentagon has a censorship system in since the early 50s, and that's why when we saw Secretary of Defense show up, Massey was 20-something points ahead in all the real polls, and I was like, oh, he'll win last week if they don't steal it. And then when I saw Hegseth show up, and how he was acting, what he said. He said he will lose. Let me tell you, the Pentagon didn't go do that for no reason. So that, you know,
what's with this Hague shit, man? What is he doing? It's ridiculous. You know, they have, you know, has this ever happened before in the past where they
look, Hague says, you know, a combat veteran. He was over there in a bunch of tours. He's mad at the Muslims, which I totally get. And then he just sees Israel as an ally, so he's going to do whatever. He's not a bad person. He believes in it. And we have to understand, a lot of people who are fighting, they believe they're right. Okay, well,
yeah.
Hague Seth said do it. When Mossad said do it, even the IDF said didn't do it. The Pentagon said don't do it. The CIA said don't do it. The point is, we're right. It didn't work. So let's cut through the BS. The mullahs didn't fall, and now we're getting sucked into a wider war. So I just bypassed this whole thing about, oh, you're for the mullahs. No, I said 86 days ago when this started, on March 1st, that three-hour Saturday show, I said, if they fell, I'd be great. But they're not going to. This has been war-gamed. And so there's no debate here. We're being sucked into something that will kill the global economy. It already is. Derail everything Trump's doing. And he won't admit he's been conned. But that's why we've got to keep putting this out. Thanks for the call. All right, we're going to go to break. And we're going to come back. And I'm giving each caller a lot of time, which I love doing. But I won't get to all of you if I don't speed up. So I'm going to try to shut up. I'll give you each about 2 minutes, and I'll make a comment quickly after what you say and move on, because we got Matt Bracken coming up with huge news as well, and so much other interesting stuff we need to cover. Briefly, this is a product that I got 6, 7, 8 months ago at a department store that is a Faraday cage, anti-RFID, super lightweight wallet that's leather and aerospace aluminum. It holds 25 cards, 20 bills on top of that. It's little. It slips right in your pocket. You'll never want to go back to another wallet after you have this. We have it with Don't Tread on Me and 1776. We're also having some come out because people just like murdered out clean, because I told them to get those too, but those are coming in. But these are great with the designs, limited edition. They're going to sell out quickly. The new Freedom Shield wallet. The new Freedom Shield RFID wallet is here, so people can't point these little readers at you and grab all your information off your chips on your cards and more. The new Freedom Shield RFID wallet is here. It comes in two powerful patriotic designs, Don't Tread on Me and 1776, made with top grain leather and aerospace grade aluminum. This thing is slim, strong, secure, and built for everyday carry. It holds up to 25 cards and 20 bills, has RFID blocking protection and secure cash strap and quick pull tab access, so you get strength, security, and premium patriotic design all in one wallet. Normally $69, like $80 in stores. It's $49 for everybody else, but for VIPs, $39.20, $10 off for VIPs. Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. And there's a big buy one, get one free on the T3 iodine and methylene blue that ends in less than 48 hours at thealexjonesstore.com. We'll be right back. So we're about to go back to your calls, but first, this just in, breaking now. The White House promised over the weekend that soon there would be an indictment of Raul Castro, the brother of Fidel Castro, and that's the pretext to have a raid and remove him. The CIA met in the last 2 weeks with the Cuban leadership. They follow the Venezuelan model. They will grab the leadership. The leadership under them will then take over, and it'll be a client state of the United States. Like I said 6 months ago, I said, at one level, academically, I support, it's in our hemisphere, gunboat diplomacy, Monroe Doctrine, Barbary Pirate precedent, Thomas Jefferson, look those up. They're manipulating our elections. They're with the drug cartels. Okay, I can tacitly say I could support that. First time regime change ever support. But I overall don't support it because they tend to put somebody even worse in, like overthrow Assad 2 years ago, put in the head of Al-Qaeda. They do mass purges of Christians and non-radical Muslims and all the rest of it. And that's what I would imagine we're going to have here, because they've already met with the... So they're going to leave the communists in charge, and then I guess build some hotels and whatever, and Cuba opens up to tourism, but commies still run it. Not good. So here's the news. Today we are announcing an indictment charging Raul Castro and several others with conspiracy to kill U.S. nationals, famously blowing up an airplane with terrorism, says the Attorney General Todd Blanche in Miami. My message today is clear: the United States and the president does not and will not forget its citizens. So that's better than a full invasion. And you know, Cuba will make a deal to let them come grab him for the big spectacle. And that'll be Trump's consolation prize with the Iran war failing. Trump got all hyped up, was my concern with his success with Maduro, that he would then think Iran would be a cakewalk. So the pivot is into Cuba. Who knows how this is going to go? I've always been concerned, like the Bay of Pigs, the CIA could set up Trump, but it seems like they're running things, so they're pretty happy with Trump right now. We'll continue to track all this. Here is the acting attorney general laying out the next leg of this. Here it is.
Today, we are announcing an indictment charging Raul Castro and several others with conspiracy to kill U.S. nationals. Mr. Castro and the others are charged with additional crimes as well, including destruction of aircraft and 4 individual counts of murder. The indictment was returned by a grand jury sitting in this district in Miami on April 23rd, 2026, and was unsealed today. For nearly 30 years, the families of 4 murdered Americans have waited for justice. On February, this is a story all too familiar. On February 24th, 1996, 2 civilian aircraft operated by Brothers to the Rescue were shot down over international waters by military aircraft from Cuba. 4 men were killed: Carlos Costa, Armando Alejandre Jr., Mario de la Peña, and Pablo Morales. They were unarmed civilians and were flying humanitarian missions for the rescue and protection of people fleeing oppression across the Florida Straits. As alleged in the indictment, Raul Castro and 5 co-defendants participated in a conspiracy that ended with Cuban military aircraft firing missiles at those civilian planes and killing 4 Americans. Those are the allegations returned by a federal grand jury. My message today is clear. The United States and President Trump does not and will not forget its citizens.
So it's not regime change, it's law enforcement. And so this follows the pattern of Venezuela. They will remove the regime and put the underlings in charge and not have elections, and the U.S. will run a dictatorship in Cuba. I didn't sign up for that. Free the Cuban people. And maybe this goes different. U.S. announces charges against former Cuban leader Raul Castro in 1996 aircraft shootdown. There you go. That's where we're at. Trump's definitely on the move here. He definitely thinks he's doing this for America. And I said, in our sandbox, yeah, okay. Better watch out, though. You get set up, but okay, yeah, okay. But not Iran. The Pentagon told you that, too. So, because we're all sitting here like, okay, the boomers are like, all right, the third of the fertilizer's cut off. All right, the fuel, big deal, you know, everything's fine. And now the chickens are coming home to roost. All right, let's go to your calls. Kyle in Kentucky on the election and the chicanery we saw there. What's your take on what happened last night in Kentucky?
Hey, Alex, how you doing?
Good. Thanks for calling.
safe. So I just wanted to call in and just give my little, you know, while I was there voting for Owen County, I just received my ballot. And the lady in charge of the voting booths or whatever, she announces, I thought it was kind of weird that she kind of just said it out loud, but she looks over at the two ladies that were handing out the ballots to everybody, and she goes, make sure you're handing out the right ballots, because so-and-so just called, and apparently they've been handing out the wrong ballots all afternoon. So I just wanted to throw that out there. If there was any doubt that Massey's election was stolen, there's some proof right there, probably.
Well, let's flesh that out, because that was done in Houston, Tucson, and Phoenix, and a bunch of other key cities in 2020 and after, where they would give out the wrong ballots or the ballots weren't long enough to be printed. That is a classic tactic that's used, where they're giving people ballots that aren't even the right ballots, so those are discarded. Everybody comes in to vote for Massey, and then you just absorb that big group and then only give out the real ballots at the end. Then magically 10,000 mail-ins come in that are all for the Israel First candidate, and then he wins. And then you've got a turnout 357 times what it's ever been. That's one out of 200, they're saying. Do you believe that?
I don't know about that. I know that Kentucky's a pretty loyal state, even at their detriment sometimes. And I know everybody that I know in Owen County voted for Massey. And I'm sure there was a lot of people that showed up just to vote for Massey this time because they were trying to get rid of him. So
the headline should be, which is all the caller said, Kentucky citizens smell a rat. Nobody knows who this guy is. Everybody we know voted for Massey. So why do you think Massey threw the towel in? I think he's done. I think he's sick of this. He wants out.
I hope not. I think Massey's one of the good ones. I don't agree with everything that he is about, but I do think that he's one of the good ones. He's a constitutionalist. He's all for the Second Amendment. And to be honest, he's calling out the Israel BS.
Yeah, he has a perfect Second Amendment voting record. You're right. He's called out Israel.
I hope you were right, and I hope he tries to run for governor.
I hope we need to draft him and pressure him to keep fighting. I got a sneaking suspicion. I talked to folks that know him. He's just sick of it, just like MTG. Thanks for the call. Great points. All right, up next here, in the order they are received, let's talk to Joyce in Kentucky on the election. What's your take on what happened last night?
Hey, Alex. This is Joyce.
Welcome.
We are voters in Shelby County. I voted, my husband voted, my daughter voted, my son-in-law voted. We thought voter turnout was just about normal, what you'd expect. We didn't see these hordes of extra voters anywhere.
But we're told there's all these magical voters, 357% more.
We just didn't see it. I mean,
I've seen a lot of voting place videos. That Ryan Madden other shot, it was small groups of people.
We didn't stand in line at all. Nobody did. But I mean, it was about what you'd expect for an off term, you know, election. So we just, you know, I was hopeful, but we were at an event on Friday that Massey was speaking at, and you could feel there was a spirit of heaviness. You could just feel that people were getting kind of low about it. So we weren't entirely surprised about the return, but we're pretty upset about it.
Well, I got exuberant when he was 28 points ahead in Pauley Market last week and just said, oh, I think he's going to win. But then I prayed about it, and I said yesterday, I said he's going to lose for sure because the Pentagon doesn't show up to campaign against somebody. It's never been done in 250 years unless the fix is in.
Right.
And the fix is in.
Yeah, and we heard Lauren Boebert speak, you know, just before he spoke, and I felt that she was speaking at great political risk to herself.
Oh, Trump wants her primary now. She goes, I still support Trump, but I can support him. Exactly.
Right. Well, I voted for Trump myself. You know, I voted for him 3 times, but I'm not. I don't know why I'm the enemy now. I don't know how we got to be at odds with each other.
He came out and said I was the enemy because I said that Iran isn't going to fall. They're going to close the strait, and your whole economic plan's done. The Pentagon said that. Right. All I did was agree with the Pentagon. I'm the bad guy.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I feel you. You know, that's what we're coming from, too. So, but we'll just see how it pans out. I mean, we live about 20 minutes from the Gowron farm. They're nice people. I don't know anything, a stain on their character. I just don't feel like he was the right man for the job. That's all.
Well, the other callers all said nobody knows who he is. Sounds like you know who he is. Well, what's his history?
Is he a
Kentuckian?
Most people in the county know who he is, yeah. He's a businessman. He's a successful farmer. He's got a good farm store, and you know he's a nice guy. I'm not gonna.
Well, that's good news. Maybe give me hope.
Right,
so he's a real Kentuckian. Then he's not a total synthetic.
He's a real Kentuckian.
Well, that's good news.
Then he's not a paper doll. He's a real guy.
Well, that's good news then.
Well, you know, you pray, and then you vote. And then you pray even more. That's all I can say.
I appreciate your call. Yeah, I mean, my whole view on this is you can't have a foreign power come in and give $20+ million against a candidate. That's why I'm against it. A lot of stuff, Massey, that I didn't agree with. The point is that he took on the system, and this is a message to everybody. You better sit down and shut up. I don't like that. I don't like that at all. What about you? And the Israel lobby bragging how they did it, and AIPAC bragging they did it. And then they got Shapiro saying, you're anti-Semitic if you say Israel got involved. Just shut up. Stop insulting me. I don't even want to give Shapiro talking points of how he can be more convincing. It's like the very worst stuff he could do, he does. You know, I follow this war with Israel thing through with the Muslims and all of it, and it's a nuclear war. Everybody wanting to blow up Israel needs to just stop that right now. The Muslims are crazy. People around Israel are crazy. We need to stop this right now. This is satanic. It needs to end right now. All right, Darren in Kentucky, your take on the election. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Alex. Just establishing credibility real quick. I was the author on the legal complaint against Adam Schiff with Christine Bish, so I'm pretty well tied in.
I tried to hear what you said. Tried to hear what you said. What?
So I was the author on the criminal complaint, the mortgage fraud complaint against Adam Schiff, just to establish some credibility. a friend of mine is actually, we'll call her leadership in the Massey campaign. So I had a conversation with her last night. All internal polling that they've done for the last several weeks leading into last night showed Massey up significantly. And so they were pretty much floored, especially when people were coming out essentially celebrating midday, but long before polls even closed. So there is certainly quite a bit of miss in this whole situation.
So what do you think's going on?
I mean, you know, if it looks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, the most likely result is that it is a duck. This type of thing has happened before. I was involved in another whistleblower complaint in 2016 with that happened in South Carolina, and we saw the same thing where some of the dyed-in-the-wool deep state career politicians that were really well tied in came out celebrating and giving the exact numbers that they were going to win by around 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, hours and hours before polls even closed. So, I mean, this is not something new. This is not a novel game. It's just that it seems like people are actually in a position where they can recognize what's happening, and the big question mark for me is what do we do about it at this point? Because this is not something novel.
I mean, does anybody believe that there was a 357% increase in voters, and that magically 10,000 plus votes is how this guy won, comes in the last minute? Who buys that?
Well, I mean, I'd say mathematically, it's improbable would be an understatement, right? I mean, you can't say that this is something that you expect, especially in a primary that, you know, it doesn't necessarily even have the executive branch up on offer. So I mean, it should tell you everything.
It tells me everything I need to know. Do you think Trump's been blackmailed by Israel, or he just joined with the Israel lobby because he thinks it's the most powerful group to support? Because he's burning down his support. We're going to lose the midterms. There's no doubt about that. Why is Trump doing that?
I mean, any answer I give would be conjecture, right? But, I mean, I will say this. It seems probable, if certainly more than possible, that there is something held underneath his feet that are keeping it to the flame, right? And so whether that's blackmail, whether that's some sort of issue, for me, my opinion, which is rooted in absolutely nothing but baseless opinion, he saw what happened the first go round when they impeached him twice. The difference is the numbers are there, and he's gone a lot farther. He's kind of paddled a lot farther into the deep end this time. So perhaps we've passed the point of no return, where the guy's quite literally looking at potential legal ramifications against him and his family for the trades, for opposing the deep state at all, right? And so this is the big question mark. Nobody really knows what it is that's
but we know there's a big change in Trump. Thanks for the call. All right, we've got JD, Will, and David. I'm going to talk to David, then I'm going to go to Matt Bracken, get a synopsis of what's happening. He's going to break it all down coming up. But what I know is the fertilizer cutoff, the oil cutoff, it's already baked in the end of Trump's recovery. That's admitted now. So that's the new world we're in. And then Iran doubling down, saying 70%+ of our missiles are left. We're ready to hit all your targets. Israel getting blown up over the weekend, their big missile base, nuclear reactor hit on fire in UAE, mass drone strikes in Russia. It's all escalating out of control. That's the bottom line. Matt Brackett will cover it. David California, a Jewish Israelite, wants to give his take on all of this. Go ahead. Thanks for calling, David.
How's it going, Alex?
Good to talk to you. So what is your view on what I've been covering?
Yes, sir. I just want to say, before I say this, a lot of people, they lie about reading the Old Testament, but it's important that we actually read it and study it. And I've been studying and reading for like 13 years. But yeah, basically the people that saying that they Jewish, they really, the Edomites, they are the brother of Yisrael, and Yisrael fits the prophecies that's in the books. So yeah, that's like a main thing that nobody really talk about. So people, they trying to do what God say, but it's really Yahuwah. But Yahuwah punished the Israelites. So like you was talking about the other day, like when the Israelites doing bad, we get punished, and that's why we got scattered across the earth and made slaves, which we are still slaves right now, and we supposed to turn back to Yahuwah. That's the real prophecy. But these people from Turkey, they claiming to be us, and they've been doing this type of stuff throughout history. But yeah, I mean, we all related under we know our sons, but still, they out here claiming some stuff that's not true. And the real prophecy is that we need to turn back to Yahuwah. Yahuwah the one that give us the land. We don't have to drop no bombs on people to get that land. So the truth just need to be read in the books of the Old Testament, which is that we got to turn back to Yahuwah. We got to follow the law.
Well, let me ask you this. Where do you see all this going? Because I tried to make this about a humanity against the globalists and dehumanization. Now they've successfully made it about Jew versus everybody else. That's what they wanted. How do you see this battle unfolding?
I mean, as long as we unite and talk and actually read the books and ask Yahuwah to help us, which is the true name of God, we're going to be good. We'll prevail over there trying to censor everything and all the illogical things that they're doing. We just got to unite as people because we are better. And Yahuwah provides for us, and nothing that they can do will actually succeed if we trust in Yahuwah. Because like Yahuwah protected David, he protected Daniel. He always protects us if we trust in Yahuwah and ask for help. But we got to do it on a massive scale. We got to start actually reading the books and not just lying about it, because a lot of people lie about it. But I posted on my Instagram, almost got all of it on there. And then on my YouTube, I was posting it too. And I have been tagging you like almost every day because I wanted to get on here and talk to you about it as well, because I see you having some people on here that's like talking about it, but they not really, they haven't really read it because they're saying stuff that's not true. But yeah, I like to go over the books with you because it's always good to actually read the books and look at the scriptures. Yeah, and read it all the way, not just like one verse, but the whole chapter. And the
all right, brother, thank you for the call. Thank you for the call. I'm going to introduce Brad Bracken and have him take over. I want to try to get to JD and Will, but we'll see if we can. Briefly, because we won't be here if I don't do this. I will expand this network. I will bring on powerful hosts, reporters, we've already done before, but I need you to decide you want to be part of this mission. It's like a mission impossible. Here is your mission if you choose to accept it. I need your word of mouth. I need your prayer. I need you to share the articles and videos on your email list, text message, all that. That's the real power, not on the social media stuff. Do that there too. But I need your support. TheAlexJonesStore.com. We have a buy one, get one free that ends tomorrow, where you can get a bottle of the highest quality, pure, medical-grade iodine, magic things it does. It's so incredible, Missing Link. Get a free bottle. Or get ultramethylene blue with the best medical-grade methylene blue. Get one bottle, get one free. Or get one bottle of the iodine and get a free bottle of the methylene blue. You can mix and match. That sale is live right now at thealexjonesstore.com. I have the fighting spirit. I won't back down, but I can't do it without you. I thank you for your support. Those that have supported, and I ask those that haven't, take action now. Step into a wider world. TheAlexJonesStore.com. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Go to AlexJonesApp.com. Get the free Droid and Apple app for the new show. Go to the news site, AlexJonesLive.com. Please take action now. We have the new Freedom Shield wallet, RFD, RFID, with the Faraday cage, you can't be tracked. Wallets, high quality, the lowest price you're going to find. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Those are selling out quickly. It takes funds to fight a war. We have great products so that you love them and want to get them again. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Got the buy one, get one free right now on T3, the best iodine and the best methylene blue, right now at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Former Navy SEAL, best-selling author and researcher, Matt Bracken, geopolitical expert. Straight ahead. Stay with us. All right, Matt Bracken, former Navy SEAL, best-selling author, is set to take over right now. I'm Alex Jones, your host. In 1 hour, The War Room, Harrison Smith takes over. All the latest news and developments, be sure and share that. It's an info war. But Matt, 35,000-foot view, 100,000-foot view. What's happening? Everything we predicted, Strait of Hormuz, Iran, the economy, Massey, in general, where are we right now, Matt, and what's coming up?
I'm going to talk about all that, but, you know, I was listening, and the caller before last was talking about, is Trump blackmailed? You know, what explains this transformation? Since I'm one with you and you're in, you know, Austin, Texas, I've been rereading this lately. I have the paperback. This is called a Texan from the 1870-1879, 9 years among the Indians, by Herman Lehman, captured by Apaches, right? They knew, this book right here, they knew, the Comanches and Apaches, that if they captured, they did, before the word Stockholm Syndrome was ever a thing, they knew that if they captured boys, they could, even if they boys had seen their parents killed, they could completely bring them over and they'd become, in their mind, Comanches or Apaches. This happened over and over again. Another great book, published in Austin, Texas in 1889. This is like a reprint. Indian Depredations in Texas. So this is like a collection of all kind of essays and you know, short books, because the people then thought nobody in the future is going to believe this. If we don't write this down, they'll never believe it. So this is 1889, stories of what was going on in Texas. And my point is, people used to be very tough. But they even knew then that if somebody was captured, their mind could be Stockholm Syndrome completely over.
So John Wayne made a movie about little girls being captured.
The Searchers. Yeah. Great movie. And that shows that Texas spirit that, you know, that they're not going to run us out, no matter if they got if the next settlers are going to plant on top of our bones, they're never going to run us out. And another great movie, maybe even better, that's not well known, is a Burt Lancaster movie called Ulzana's Raid. also covers that. But I think that when people are for maybe Trump, it began as being blackmailed, or not necessarily even him being blackmailed, but he spoke about, you know, his friends Howard and other people would be ruined by this. The human mind rationalizes. You don't want to. You can't go through life saying.
No, he's becoming an Israeli. He said, "I'm going to be the next Israeli prime minister today."
So you instead of saying I'm blackmailed and I'm under duress, the human mind finds a way to say, "No, I'm not being blackmailed. I chose this." You know, these kids that were kidnapped primarily by Comanches and Apaches, most in Texas, in the 1870s, 1880s, until the reservation really came in. These kids would be like quote unquote rescued. They would escape back to the Comanches. They were so in their mind brainwashed. They would have to basically do that. What do they used to call that? The deprogramming,
yes.
Like for Moonies or other cult members.
It's the same thing with the left. You know, they're literally under Stockholm syndrome.
Totally under Stockholm syndrome, and to the point where white boys are scalping American white settlers along with Comanches and Apaches. They're in their mind. So if Trump began by being, you know, and it's not blackmail, like somebody comes in and says, if you don't do this, we're going to do this. It's much more subtle.
Oh, we're going to protect you, sir. Process. When they planted child porn on us, we exposed it was them. They go, we want to help you. Let's be friends now. And I knew right what it was.
Yeah. But over time, over a period of years, the human mind rationalizes, they're not making me do it. I'm actually the king of the Israelis. You know, I've mastered them. They didn't bring me to doing this. I'm bringing them to do this. Because the mind doesn't want to snap. It doesn't want to go crazy and say, I can't handle the cognitive dissonance. The mind wants to adapt.
You've hit on
adapt.
Something key here, Matt Bracken. Explain this when we come back. You've got the floor. Then the War Room in 55 minutes with Aaron Smith. Stay with us and share the feeds. You're the Paul Revere's.
Yeah, in the last part with Alex, I was talking about these. You know, you think how in the world do you connect Comanches and Apaches in the 1870s to what's going on today? And just listening the last hour this afternoon, you know, the one caller was saying that a lot of his rich delivery clients were becoming preppers, filling up their garages with, you know, food and prepper supplies, not to flee, but to, like, just make their house an outpost. And, you know, that's definitely a good idea for anybody at any level. I always preach, you know, do you know where your water comes from? You know, it's great that you have 10 AR-15s, but, you know, if you're out of water a week after grid down, your guns aren't going to help much. It's old paradigm. You know, what happens if the bullets outlast the beans? You know, what happens if people are still shooting when there's no more food to buy or steal from anybody? You know, then what? So yeah, it's good. Everybody should be a prepper. But the times that are coming, I think that, you know, are going to be something that nobody in the modern era has experienced. And the people that have experienced something very close to it are probably among the refugees that have come to this country, you know, that have survived periods, you know, literally drinking ditch water, watching family members killed, things like that. Mentally, they're going to be a lot tougher. And I got onto this theme with Alex because two callers ago in the last hour, a caller was saying how, you know, We're trying to figure out, is Trump being blackmailed? You know, what's the hold that they have on him? And by coincidence, I've been rereading this amazing book by Herman Lehman, Lehmann. He's part of Texas history. This is not something written, you know, recently. I'm just on my Kindle. This is not some new thing, right? This guy is in Texas history. The Texas Rangers that wrote biographies, they met 20, 30 years after all this and discussed the same battles that they were in. A white boy with Apaches and then Comanches captured by Apaches, literally sold to Comanches. But they knew, they understood this was not something that they just came up with, that if you know, starting with capturing from enemy tribes and then just capturing from the white settlers, if you captured a boy, you know, say 9-10 years old, he has to be able to ride, he has to be able to at least survive. They were very harsh people. I'm not trying to just come down on the you know, the Comanches, Kiowas, Apaches, and so forth. I'm just saying what it was. They wouldn't they couldn't keep anybody, like, say, under 10 years old, because they couldn't keep up. They couldn't endure the hardship of life on the run on horseback. And if you were too old, they didn't bother either, because, you know, by the time you're 17 or 18, you're too set. But if they captured a, say, 10 to 15-year-old boy, even if this boy saw his parents massacred, they could put him through such an ordeal, surviving on horseback, you know, fleeing Texas Rangers for days, you know, starvation conditions. After a period of weeks and months, Stockholm Syndrome would kick in, and eventually these boys became Comanches and Apaches. It wasn't a one-off. This happened to dozens of peoples, and girls too. In that John Wayne movie, The Searchers, you know, the girl who's kidnapped doesn't want to come back. You know, she's completely in with the Comanches. And you know, so what's the point of this? How does Trump go from being, you know, make America great again, to saying I might go to Israel and become, you know, the next prime minister of Israel? Does he really believe this? I think he does. I don't think he's just making this up. That's how, in his mind, he's transformed himself. So you might start with being blackmailed secondhand smoke blackmailed, like some of my key friends, like Howard Lutnick. They're definitely going to be sacrificed if all these Epstein files come out. They're going to go down with the ship. So we're going to hold off on the Epstein files, go after Massey in Kentucky. But eventually, I think that Trump would not now, if you had him under a sodium pentothal, sodium barbital, truth serum, I don't think he would say he was being blackmailed anymore. He just said that Netanyahu will do whatever I say. I think a transformation happens in the mind where somebody who might come to a point of view under duress,
they give him the orders, and he's convinced himself, he gives the orders back.
That's right. And it's a rationalizing process, because the mind, if it has to handle too much cognitive dissonance, is going to snap. So you wind up, you know, going from being blackmailed to thinking, I have 5D chest and the Israelis, and now Netanyahu is actually my puppet, which we know is completely wrong, because in the first, you know, week or so after February 28th, our sneak attack, Rubio and Trump both said, we did this because Israel said, we're going to attack
Trump
no matter
what.
Trump
said it again two times last week that he had to do it for Israel.
That's right. But now he's saying, Netanyahu will do whatever I say, and I may run, he's kind of joking, but it's like his mindset. He believes the polls that are favorable to him, and he dismisses the polls that are disfavorable to him as fake news. And he quoted or mentioned some poll that said, I have 99% favorability in Israel. Well, that's not necessarily a great thing, because Israel has like zero favorability in the rest of the world. You know, this is like, you know, the Imperial Japanese saying that, you know, some warlord in China is on our side, or you know, the Nazis saying that you know, the Latvians are on our side in World War II. I mean, it's not exactly a ringing endorsement. You know, that when you see these pictures and drone videos of Gaza, and they look like Dresden, you know, it's a non-nuclear Hiroshima done 1 2,000-pound bomb at a time. And the 2,000-pound bombs all say made in America, and all the airplanes that dropped the 2,000-pound bombs were made in America and given to Israel under extremely favorable conditions, virtually gifts. So to the rest of the world now, there is no difference between America and Israel when it comes to this policy. You know, the world is aware that we gave those bombs to Israel. We're still flying those bombs to Israel. You know, there's that air fleet crossing the Atlantic, the C-17s, you know, going into Ben Gurion Airport. We even gave Israel, this is like a really a red line, we gave them refuelers, which extends their range. And if you wanted to contain Israel, say, to within a defensive perimeter, you'd say, all right, we gave you F-16s, we gave you some F-35s, but they have a short range, and whatever you can do within that range, that's fine. But when you give them refuelers, tankers, you're now allowing them to lily pad, leapfrog, you know, far outside of Israel, so that they could even strike Iran itself on their own. And then we're in the position of saying, well, what can we do? Netanyahu is going to attack Iran, so we had to attack with them. But, you know, in the end, this is extremely self-defeating because, you know, I mean, going back to like Genghis Khan and probably the Babylonians, there's a reason why you didn't kill diplomats. You didn't kill ambassadors. You didn't kill negotiators. You don't even assassinate the enemy king because, you know, it may be a tactical victory this weekend. Yay, we killed Khamenei, the 90-year-old supreme leader. But after that, nobody's going to trust you to negotiate with you. You know, if you may decide later, well, we need to negotiate. Well, nobody's going to negotiate with you because you've proven that your word is no good and that you'll even go to the extent of doing assassination missile strikes during negotiations. It's like Friday in Oman. Hey, things are going pretty good. We'll see you on Monday in Geneva. Yeah, see you Monday in Geneva. And then Saturday, boom. We're dropping Tomahawk missiles on a school in Minab, Iraq, or Iran, near the Persian Gulf. You know, we didn't mean to, and it was just an accident. But that's kind of hollow when it's part of a sneak attack. You've had months to plan every one of these strikes, and you just were saying, "Oh well, we're using a very old map." You know, my kids grew up part of their lives on military bases. My kids went to DOD schools in San Diego, in Guam, in Charleston. My kids went to schools on military bases. Can you imagine what we would think if during Pearl Harbor, not only did they hit ships, you know, in Pearl Harbor, but they hit a school and killed 160 grade school kids? I mean, we would still be talking about that. But our media is like, Matt, who cares? You know, we've been at war with them since 47 years, so if we want to do a sneak attack, it's all good. This is really stupid. I don't care if you're like, have the most brutal, you know, kill them all, let God sort them out mentality. It's self-defeating in the end. Sometimes you're going to have to finally sit down and negotiate. And nobody's going to negotiate with people that do assassination, quote-unquote, decapitation, missile strikes during negotiations. And so Trump, at the beginning, he was obviously, at least it's obvious to me, he was convinced by Netanyahu and Mossad that the Iranians would fold in a couple of days, that another leader who was more sympathetic to the West would come to the top. Well, the Israelis bombed that guy's house, Ahmadinejad, I forget his name, but they bombed his house, so they knew this was never going to happen. This was completely a ruse to bring America into the war on the side of Israel, because Israel's goal is not a regime change in Iran. Israel's goal is the destruction of Iran as a civilization, as a sovereign nation, as any threat to Israel, even hypothetically in the future, to turn it into another Libya, a Syria, a Lebanon, a Gaza. And they don't have the power to do it. So they need to get the big 500-pound dumb gorilla on their side to do it for them. And that's, unfortunately, the USA. And, you know, it's not like a zero-sum game where we can just continue this like, oh, it's a stalemate. We're blockading them. They're blockading the Strait of Hormuz. We're blockading Iran. This is not a zero-sum game because every week that's going on, the levels of fuel out in the world are going down. You know, there hasn't been a ship that's left the Persian Gulf, well, very few, like less than 10%, maybe 5%, since February 28th. And this is like a lifeline to the world. So this is not like just Vietnam where we can do this for 7 years, 10 years, 12 years. This is not Iraq or Iran or Afghanistan or Iraq where we can just bleed treasure into the sand until we're tired of it, because the whole world is going down on this one. And this is going to all be reflected back on America. You see the same morons that are basically saying, I don't care if it was a sneak attack, man. I don't care if it was worse than Pearl Harbor. Trump actually joked with the prime minister of Japan, the female prime minister, joked with her in the White House about Pearl Harbor, joked about Pearl Harbor. I grew up, Pearl Harbor was a horrible thing. It was, you know, don't blame us for Hiroshima because you started at Pearl Harbor. And I know it's much more complicated than that. And I know we put sanctions on them. And we were starving them. I get it. Start of oil and metals. I get it. But when I grew up, my generation grew up, that began on December 7th, 1941 at Pearl Harbor. Because whatever else was politics, economics, but you attacked our base in Pearl Harbor. So 4 years later, we nuked Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Sucks to be you. You started it. We finished it. That was the whole way of understanding our war against Japan. You started it. We finished it. Now we have Americans bragging about or proud of doing something that to me is worse than Pearl Harbor. The Japanese at least cut off negotiations right before Pearl Harbor. It was formal and diplomatic. You know, they sent the right messages, which weren't read by our side until too late. But they at least attacked Pearl Harbor in aircraft that had come all the way across the Pacific, risking discovery. They attacked with aircraft marked on their wings. We were in negotiations Friday in Oman, see you Monday in Geneva, and then attack them on Saturday, which is you know, for them a school day, when the kids in the schools were killed, and we also basically followed the Israel-Gaza protocol, which is if the artificial intelligence says there's an 80% chance that this guy will be home Saturday morning at 10 a.m., and you basically create an algorithm that says, what time is the best time to catch most of these Iranian leaders at home? Oh, 10 o'clock on Saturday morning. That means 60% for that guy, 90% for that guy, 80% for that guy. But if all the missiles hit at 10, we're going to get a lot of their leadership. And we'll get everybody else in the building, too. The neighbors, the mother, the niece, we're going to get them all. And maybe the guy was out that morning. He's not even there. Oh, well, we were using AI. That's how we killed those kids. We didn't even have humans looking at each target. We let AI choose the target list and unleash the Tomahawks and the JASSM missiles from, you know, the long-range air-delivered cruise missiles for a time-on-target attack. We did that. It's nothing to be proud of. You know, this is not going to end well. There are scenarios where America doesn't win this. You know, the Germans and the Japanese in 1940, they didn't think they were going to lose. You know, they thought they were going to win. And they thought, what the hell? Our best shot is to start it ourselves with a sneak attack, with war of aggression in Poland in 1939 and at Pearl Harbor and the Philippines and Singapore, you know, in 41 and then early 42. They thought, we're going to win and our best chance is if we start it. Now America, under Trump, thinks we're going to win. So the best way to optimize our victory is if we do the sneak attack. This does not always end well. You know, right now, the same morons that are proud of doing a sneak attack are saying, isn't it great? All the ships in the world are coming to Texas and Louisiana. It's like, yay, Trump, 5D chess. We're so smart. Now the world is coming to America to buy the fuel. Well, number one, all that does is inflate the prices for Americans because, you know, fuel is a fungible commodity. Gas, oil, it's a fungible commodity. So if empty tankers are coming here and there's a bidding war in Louisiana and Texas, we pay the price at the pump. And I don't think we've seen anything yet. But it's even worse than that. It's not just the inflation we're going to see for paying for energy. What do you think the rest of the world thinks of us that they have to send their ships to America now when we're the reason why they're not sending the ship to the Persian Gulf in like a free global market? Imagine an analogy where you have some corrupt town, you know, in the old South, run by, you know, a mafia, the sheriff, the mayor, you know, the richest guy in town. They're all named Johnson, or, you know, they're all the same clique. But there's one or two other gas stations in town. And so the mafia guy sends arsonists to the other two gas stations and blows them up. Now you've got to come to my gas station and I can charge way more. Do you think that this is going to make the world love America, coming to America to load up their empty tankers when we're the reason why the price is going out of control? If you actually want a barrel of oil delivered today in Vietnam or Korea, it's way over $100 a gallon. That's the futures price. That's the paper price. And we're just seeing the very beginning of this. You know, this is like, for me, I compare it to a mid-ocean tsunami, you know, where you have, you know, the earthquake happens, you know, many hours before it hits, you know, in Thailand or, you know, Sri Lanka, many hours. And this cutoff of the fuel around the world, it's leading to the tank, but what they call the tank bottom, where you can't, as long as there's another tanker coming, your tank farms, fuel farms in Asia and Africa, you know, they might normally be hovering somewhere between 80% full, 40% full, but there's always another ship coming. That stopped. Now we're going from that 40%, 30% to the tank bottom. When you get to that last 10%, it's an unusable sludge. You can't even put that into the pipes. You know, it'll wreck your plumbing infrastructure for the pumps. So you've got to just say, that's it, no more gas. Australia, Vietnam, Thailand, around Africa, no more. No more fertilizer, no more natural gas. Well, Matt, they could come to America and buy it for a higher price. Oh, that's going to make them totally love America. So we not only start the war with a war of aggression, but we're now going to benefit by it because we blew up the other gas station in town. And that's going to make people totally love us and be on our side. What we're doing is driving the world away from us. Yes, they'll bring the super tanker here because they need the fuel, but they're going to be hating us every minute of it and figuring out a way to get off of the dollar and out of our clutches. And you know, this in the end is going to have a very negative effect for America. Just the way right now, Israelis around the world, they get off the airplane, you know, sports teams, things like that, they're boycotted, they're treated like crap. The rest of the world is looking at America, looking at what we, you know, our bombs did in Gaza, what our bombs did in Iran, closing the Strait of Hormuz, which anybody with a three-digit IQ knew would be closed if we attacked Iran this way. And now it's gone in for 80 days, 81 days. First it was going to be 3 days, then 2 weeks, then 2 months. Now they're talking about July, maybe NATO will come. By then the world is going to be going into an acute energy crisis, and next year it'll be a food crisis. So we're going to talk about that again a little bit more on the other side of the break. But yeah, this is the tsunami. We're in the suckback phase where everybody's saying, it's not so bad. Look, the water's actually receding. What tsunami? Well, it's building up out there. And like a tsunami, you're not going to stop it. It's got its own force, and it's coming. See you on the other side. Okay, I'm going to talk about Iran and not just the repercussions of the energy side of this, but long-term political fallout, geopolitical ramifications. But I want to speak a little bit more about this. What I was talking about, the Comanches and Apaches in Texas in the 1870s. And in this book, there's just like hundreds of, you know, 2, 3, 10-page accounts printed in newspapers or diaries. And probably the best book I've read on it is this Herman Lehman, 9 Years Among the Indians, 1870 to 1879. Basically his teenage years, growing to manhood. And the reason I want to talk about that is if we're coming into really hard times, the mental preparation is going to be so much more important than, you know, how much money do you have? How many cases of MREs have you stacked? That's important, believe me. But the mental side of this is unbelievably important because we've grown so soft. I think millions of people will die from despair because they just won't understand when the supermarkets are looted and the water stops coming out of the faucet. They won't know what to do. They literally won't be able to function. They'll have no idea how to survive. And a lot of the worst people will be the primary survivors because they've at least suffered some in their life and are more used to hardship, including refugees and others that have come to America from war zones or, you know, very poor third world countries. They'll actually do better than Americans that have never lived without AC. You know, that addiction specialists, I've read this and known this for years, and it's really very counterintuitive. They'll talk about heroin. It's hard to kick heroin or hard to kick the morphine related narcotics, but they say there's actually no pain in withdrawal. It's not that there's pain from withdrawal. You're so used to living in a pleasure zone. You're so used to living in a zone that without that, you can't stand it. You can't stand life in the normal, no pleasure buzz zone that you're going crazy to get back into that zone. It's not that there's pain from withdrawal. People interpret DTs, going cold turkey, as painful. No, they're just trying to get back to the zone. Well, our civilization, we've been living in the zone. You know, we have a thermostat on the wall, and it's like, well, I want it at 76, and my wife wants it at 78, and we're always arguing, no, 81 is just too hot. Or you know, 74, what, are you trying to freeze us to death and run up our electric bill? This was never even an issue for 99.9% of human history. The temperature was the temperature. Think about before the 20th century, there wasn't even an electric fan. If you wanted it colder, you better go up a mountain or wait for winter. That was it. Those were your choices. If you were rich, have a slave fan you. That's it. You know, it didn't matter if you were the King of England or the Tsar of Russia. There was no air conditioning. There was no refrigeration. The temperature was the temperature. In the winter, you built a fire. In the summer, you did the best you could. Imagine living in Texas or Arizona, you know, 150 years ago. Nobody ever heard of electricity. Nobody ever dreamed about air conditioning or running water. That was just their baseline was so much more hardcore. This you know, he wrote this later, but Herman Lehman, he's kidnapped when he's like, you know, 11 or 12, going up until like, you know, age 19 with the Indians. These guys would be chased by Texas Rangers. They didn't fear the soldiers. The soldiers were a joke, but they feared the Texas Rangers. And that's what a book that is. Every American boy should read this book. And it's not just to say how terrible the Apaches and Comanches were or what great raiders and warriors they were, which they were, or how cruel they were, which they were. It's how much tougher people were. You know, these settlers in Texas, mostly German at the time, Fredericksburg, Carroll County, these guys had an expectation of a hard life. Then they're kidnapped by Indians and their life becomes 10 times harder. But they didn't go into shock and cry and go into the corner sucking their thumb or say, just kill me. They adapted. These guys would, you know, unlike every cowboy movie you ever saw, where the cowboys are like making a campfire and sleeping around the campfire, the Comanches and Apaches on the run would never build a fire. They knew that the Texas Rangers were going to sleep in the saddle. They had to ride for days straight, sleeping in the saddle, tie themselves to the horse. You know, the person awake is guided, leading the other horses. If they had to eat, if they, like, say they killed one of their own mules, they would take its stomach contents and eat the stomach contents cold. They would, any game that they ate, they were ready to eat cold on the spot. They couldn't take the time to make a fire. And if you made a fire, it would be a giveaway. If you had to make a fire, you'd dig a hole like 3 feet down and make a coal fire way down at night with wood that wouldn't make smoke. Because if you made smoke or any light, you'd be done. That would be it. You know, this is this war between the Texas Rangers and the Apaches and Comanches was that serious. These guys on the run, crossing deserts, if they found a spring that was dried up, they would eat mud. They'd eat mud because in the mud was some moisture. You know, they would eat bugs. They would eat anything that they could find. Insects, lizards, frogs, they would eat them. I'm not saying like, oh, wow, that's so gross. Why are you telling me this? I'm saying that they started with a much more tough baseline. No air conditioning, no central heat, right? You know, it's miles to visit anybody by horse. Kids had to learn to saddle horses and do all the horse work as like practically toddlers. And by the time you're 10 or 11, you better be doing work or you're... Then you take it to the Indians and it's next level. I mean, there was absolutely none of this like, oh, you just want to be a squaw or you can go with the girls. No, all of the Indian boys were tested, including the white captives. They had to fight each other. They had to like, you know, do boxing matches, wrestling matches constantly, you know, with the rest of the tribe looking on and laughing. And if you weren't at least trying as hard as you could to fight, they had no use for you. You'd be done. They'd leave you. This is how they raised that warrior culture, that warrior ethos. You only were with your mother while you were on the breast and a toddler. After that, you were with the men. And if you can't handle hanging with the men, we have no use for you. Why am I saying all this? If we're going into these hard times, your mind is going to have to become hard very fast. If it's not, then you're going to go into a shock from suddenly no air conditioning. Oh my God, I'm in Phoenix. I'm in Texas. It's 105 outside and there's no power. What am I going to do? Well, what did your great-grandfather do? He never heard of air conditioning. He didn't surrender. But so much is going to happen so fast. He grew up in that era. He had no expectation. We have an expectation of running water, a supermarket full of food that we can afford. We have that expectation. They were tougher because they grew up without that expectation. They never thought of a fan, much less air conditioning. So when all of this happens, when there are famines in the world, and America will maybe not go into famine like some African country, but our social network is going to fracture and collapse because we have, you know, 350 million people, 100 million of them are fed by the government, some kind of EBT, some kind of food stamp program. When all of this stops, they're going to feel that the social contract has been broken. That rich guy with the garage that's all full of stored food, they're going to know about this, even to the point of, you have lights on. That means you have electricity. How do you have electricity? A generator, solar panels? You're going to have to hide things like this. And eventually, it will get down to the point of everybody around you that you encounter is looking like Auschwitz, you know, is looking like Bataan Death March. And you've still got some food on your face. You know, you're not, You're not looking like, you know, your bones aren't sticking out. How's that happening? You know, when people get to that level and already, you know, the cities are exploding and people are looking for new places to loot, you're going to have to be very smart about this. Don't worry about refrigeration. Don't worry about air conditioning. They're not going to happen. You know, if the rest of the world in the period of an American social collapse, because we'll have the money, we'll have more food than many countries, but we'll probably go through a social fracture and collapse sooner than a lot of countries because of the baked in social problems that we have. There are countries that are much more poor than us that you would say, well, won't they go into collapse sooner? Maybe not, because psychologically they're already tougher. If you grow up in a South American country where electricity is only a 50-50 proposition anyway, you know, that where in your living memory you've had currency collapses, you've had hyperinflation. You know what happens when the supermarkets are empty, and you're prepared to deal with that psychologically. I don't think Americans are prepared to deal with it psychologically. So I think it's going to hit here a lot worse. And that's why, you know, and I don't mean to, you know, talk about how cruel the Comanches and Apaches were, and they were, but you know, when you read this, and I would give this to every young boy in America, 9 years among the Indians, say, look, he didn't quit. He was suddenly thrust into a situation where he was with other Indian boys his age, and they were tough. And he had to gain their respect. It was either that or just surrender and die. And he wasn't going to surrender and die. He became a Comanche. You know, he became an Apache, both, because he was sold from one to the other. Sometimes they formed up in common cause against the white settlers. But I think that as soft as we are, it's going to be a much bigger drop. It's going to be a really difficult psychological fracture if we get to the point where a lot of supermarkets have been looted, the people in the urban areas are going out to the suburbs foraging, not enough police to keep the peace, you know, then what happens? Anyway, enough on that. So when Trump was over in Beijing, Chairman Xi actually, you know, mentioned that America is a declining power, you know, the Thucydides trap came up, where a declining power, a declining empire, you know, is lashing out and trying to maintain its dominance. So I forget who said this. It might have been Dugin, the Russian, that the Russians and the Chinese see their situation now as managing the American decline from a unipolar world to a multipolar world, without America lashing out and taking the whole world down with it in a massive, you know, Thucydides trap reaction. How do we, it's like having a belligerent drunk relative, you know, and you've got to walk him out of the bar. He's threatening everybody. He's got guns and knives all over the place, but he's your brother and you're trying to walk him out to the truck, maybe get him to sleep it off. You don't want him to lash out, go nuts, and you all wind up in jail or dead in a, you know, huge brawl. So that's where Russia and China are today. How do we get America to go from believing that we like dominate the globe? Whatever we want, we get. We got the aircraft carriers, we got the bombers, you know, we've got the 82nd Airborne and all of the, you know, and we can just do whatever we want wherever we want. That's obviously coming to an end. And I think that even in the Pentagon, behind the scenes, that message is being conveyed to Trump and the cabinet. You'll see in the New York Times and Atlantic and other places where it seems like even the intelligence services are saying, we can't do another round of attacks on Iran. Number one, we're almost out of our standoff weapons. Why does that matter? Well, when Alex has mentioned, you know, we dropped 3 million tons of bombs on Vietnam, that's when we could just fly over Vietnam with B-52s in formation. They would literally fly from Guam to Thailand dropping bombs over Vietnam, load up more bombs in Thailand, drop more bombs on Vietnam, and fly back to Guam, okay? So what's that got to do with anything? We could just fly over Vietnam dropping iron bombs. You'd see the, like, World War II just coming down, carpet bombing, one crater linked to the next crater, sideways, lengthwise. And what we were trying to do was cut off Vietnam from resupply from China. The Ho Chi Minh Trail ran parallel to North and South Vietnam through Laos and Cambodia. And we spent, you know, 8 years carpet bombing the Ho Chi Minh Trail, and we never cut them off. So now we're trying to force Iran to submit because we're blockading their oil exports, as if that's going to make them submit. But Iran is 10 times bigger than South Vietnam, with 6 times its population. We had unlimited B-52 just vertically dropping iron bombs. They didn't surrender. Now, we can't even fly over Iran. If we do, we're taking a chance on being shot down. So we have to launch these JASSM missiles, the joint, what, standoff, it's like a cruise missile launched from a jet, because we don't want to fly right over Iran. So we're launching, you know, missiles that cost $2 or $3 million each that we have a limited number of. So we're this isn't going to happen. I don't think we're going to go back to a big air attack. If it is, it's going to be some symbolic thing that Trump will wrap into a walkaway scenario. We destroyed their Navy. We destroyed their Air Force. So we won. But Iran's not going to let us off that easy, because they don't want us just coming back in another 6 months or a year. So they're going to maintain control of the Strait of Hormuz. They know that we can't physically retake it from them. If we could have physically retaken it from them, we would have done it already. What that Project Freedom was about was an attempt to escort ships out of the Persian Gulf. There are thousands of them stuck in there, including, I think, 3 more American merchant ships stuck in the Persian Gulf 81 days. And they were going to escort them through the southern Omani Channel, which some people had said we had cleared of mines with anti-mine drones, meaning we can't actually put a boat there to search for drones that way. So from some distance away, we're going to hypothetically clear that southern Omani Channel. So we sent 2 of our best destroyers, Burke-class destroyers, DDGs, guided missile destroyers, briefly into the Persian Gulf for 2 or 3 days. It's still very sketchy. There's no geolocations. But the best take is that 2 of the Burke classes went into the Persian Gulf, where they have a very limited range, because depending on their speed, they've only got between like 3 and 10 days of fuel. If they run out of fuel in the Persian Gulf, they're dead in the water. They could be captured, sunk, anything. So part of this Project Freedom was, we'll send destroyers in and escort ships out. I think we got 2 American ships out. A French ship tried to follow and was hit. Our DDGs had to flee that Oman channel at the bottom, had to flee back out to sea. So we can't open the Persian Gulf. Doesn't matter if they have no Air Force or Navy. They have geography. They have you know, 1,000 miles of coastline to fire drones and missiles at our ships. So we're not just in a stalemate where we can do this forever, because meanwhile, the world economy is going straight downhill. And every week that goes by, the world reserve, that tank bottom, is getting closer and closer. And it's not solved by ships coming to Texas and Louisiana and filling up. That doesn't solve it. That drives our prices up, makes the rest of the world hate our guts, and it's still sucking that big tank, the global tank, is still sucking down, because we're missing that 15 or 20 million barrels per day. It's taken out. One of the downfalls of this modern, interconnected, just-in-time economy, it's great when you consider that tankers are like little beads of little strands of beads crossing the ocean, going to every country. You know, a week apart, there's a tanker heading to Holland, to Australia, to Taiwan, Japan, Korea. And, you know, it may be every 3 days for this country, every week for that country. But their national tank, fuel tank, gas and oil, is somewhere in the 80 to 40%. Here comes the ship. It's back up to 70%. Those ships have sailed. They're done. So it's back to that tsunami situation. We don't feel it yet because we haven't hit tank bottom yet. And other countries will hit tank bottom before America. That's true. So we're going to see this around the world, like what we saw a glimpse of in Sri Lanka a couple years ago. They made some bad political decisions. They went tank bottom and had, you know, social explosion all over Sri Lanka. Out of fuel. That means everything closes. Well, they're getting there in places like, you know, like Vietnam and Korea and Japan. They're getting there. And it's not something like Trump is saying, don't worry, as soon as we straighten up the Strait of Hormuz situation, the oil prices will fall. That's delusional thinking. If it stopped tomorrow, if the tankers left the Gulf today, it's still going to be, depending on how far, you know, 40, 45, 50 days before those tankers can get to the next, to the countries to offload, to save them from tank bottom. If we hit tank bottom, it's going to be global repercussions. It already will be, especially when you consider that there are countries that just aren't planting because they have no fertilizer. They have no experience with how do we go back to 19th century agriculture. Well, we didn't have 8 billion people in the 19th century. You know, the food meaning of the globe of the Green Revolution was we can get 3 or 4 times the harvest out of an acre, you know, with modern diesel-run combine harvesters, with modern seeds, with modern fertilizers, pesticides, the whole thing, fuel-running irrigation pumps, everything. We can now feed 8 billion people. You take away the diesel, no fuel, no water irrigation pumps, no diesel tractor harvesters, no fertilizer. So we may be seeing in 2027 the effect of what's happening in 2026, because we're still eating the 2025 harvest. The 2027 harvest should be going in now, but in a lot of the world, it's not going in. So no matter what happens, this is going to have global consequences, you know, cascading global consequences. Anyway, well, I'm glad to be able to talk to you, and I don't know the next time I'll see you, but hopefully pretty soon with better news, something maybe the Trump will do the walk away and not the bombs away. If we do the bombs away, we're just digging a deeper hole. And yeah, the morons that say, yeah, Matt, they'll have to come to Texas and Louisiana for even more of the last fuel in the world. Yeah, and they'll hate us. And they'll be out for revenge forever against us if countries go into famine. You know, usually famines were something that, you know, related to a drought or maybe a regional war. China and Japan suffered famines over and over again. This famine, this global famine, will have one very well-known cause, and it'll be February 28th, what Trump did then. So anyway, I'll talk to you later. And hopefully better news next time. You know, I've got, I'm plugging other guys' books today. This isn't even other guys' books. This is just history. And I think that it will work for you in order to just psychologically toughen you. And maybe, you know, your kids. Have your boys read these books. And, you know, I've got my own books too. You know, all of these I've been writing for years. But anyway, I'll talk to you next time. See you later.